93.3 WMMR, Audio on Demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, May 1st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, yesterday was the last day of Philadelphia's parking ticket amnesty program. For a $50 fee, tickets issued before 2013 were being forgiven as long as tickets from 2013 through 2017 get paid. Payment plans were available for people who could not afford to pay their tickets in full. Hundreds of people lined up at the Philadelphia Parking Authority building at 9th and Filbert Streets. The long line stretched for about two blocks as some people waited more than 5 hours to have their parking tickets forgiven. Residents were complaining that they were standing for hours without water and only one restroom that had run out of toilet paper. Several people passed out after standing in line for so long. Some people began arriving to line up at 4 a.m. Monday for their last chance to have the tickets before 2013 forgiven. Monday marked the last day that the PPA was doing this. So at about 10 o'clock, the PPA began issuing vouchers to those who remained in line. The vouchers will allow them to return to take care of their outstanding parking tickets. Only a handful of people were in line about 3 a.m. this morning with the vouchers in their hand.
3 a.m.
Yeah. Vouchers were given out to those who were still waiting inside the building on Monday. The voucher, however, extends the program's deadline until the end of business on Friday, but that is only for those who have the voucher.
So no matter how much you owed in parking tickets, you would just pay $50 and that would wipe the slate clean before 2013.
Right, yeah. So I think it was $50 before 2013, and then from 13 to now, you had to have the parking ticket
paid in full.
It's a pretty good deal, but everybody waited until the last day to go pay their parking tickets.
Passing the hell out. It was just crazy.
I think people probably didn't expect that they were going to wait in line that long, where there were several people probably starving and thirsty and then
passing
out.
You have a city full of people, or people just, you know how people accrue parking tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, it's and a lot of people, too, especially if you live in the city, sometimes you just you ignore them and they build up. And
exactly. It's like, I throw it in the glove compartment.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So if you're given an opportunity like this, but they probably shouldn't have waited until the last day. Yeah.
Pierre Robert would be the first to admit that he is totally guilty of doing that
absolutely
on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I had a friend who, this wasn't in the city, it was out in Westchester, but when we were in college, she would get a parking ticket and throw it in the glove compartment and shut it and pretend like it was just a piece of paper that sat in there. And when I tell you, I was in her car one time and I opened it and they literally, it was like a movie. They fell out all over the place and I was like, what is this?
I'll guarantee you there are many like her.
Well, listen, they went, so the car was in her dad's name, and they put the boot on the car.
Yeah.
And there was a warrant for the dad's arrest because it was in his name. So he owned a business. They went to his business, and he was like, what are you talking about?
Wow.
And sure enough, it traced back to her, and she had to pay all this money to get rid of those parking tickets.
Well, that's why you have lines of thousands of people for this.
Exactly. They're not fake. You do actually have to pay them. Police have revealed that the day after the shooting, a resident reported seeing a woman matching Jen Eyre Jarrido's description outside of the victim's home 2 days before the crime. The murder-suicide
happened
in Radnor. Police can't say for certain, had the resident come forward beforehand, that they could have prevented the crime, but they're using this as a reminder to residents that if they see something, to say something. 16 hours after Meredith Chapman had been murdered in her kitchen, Radnor police received a message from a neighbor who lived near her Lowry Lane home in Rosemont. The email said a woman matching Jen Eyre's description had been seen standing near the tipster's driveway just 2 days before the crime. It said that she was fixated on Chapman's home and was clutching a pair of binoculars.
Police
said those binoculars were later discovered in a black SUV that Jarrido had rented to drive from her Wilmington home to Radnor on the day of the murder. According to investigators, Jarrido shot Chapman after she discovered the 33-year-old was having an affair with her husband. Most residents say that because Lowry Lane is a busy street and these types of crimes are not common in the area, that it was easy to think this was more of a strange sighting than anything suspicious, but it is definitely driving more residents to be forthcoming about out-of-the-ordinary behavior.
I'm a little bit more proactive. Even if I don't see anything, I still say something just to keep them out of the game.
Probably not a good idea.
But really?
Yeah.
I guess it just comes up the system.
Yeah.
A teenager was shot multiple times in Bucks County, and police say it was not a random act. The shooting happened 9 p.m. yesterday on the 300 block of Penn Street. Police say the victim, who was from Croydon, was visiting the area and approached by two men. Police say the two opened fire, injuring the teen and damaging several parked cars. Detectives believe the suspects targeted the teen, but they have not yet revealed a motive. They were last seen fleeing towards Pond Street on foot. The victim was transported to Jefferson Torresdale Hospital. He's listed in stable condition, and police police are asking anyone with information to please contact them. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Substitute point guard Terry Rozier scored 29 points, and first-year Celtics forward Jason Tatum had a career-high 28 to lead the Celtics to a 117-101 win over the Sixers last night in Game 1 in Boston. Joel Embiid scored 31 points and 13 rebounds for the Sixers, who lost for just the second time in 22 games. Ben Simmons added 18 with 7 boards and 7 rebounds and 6 assists. With 6 days of rest since eliminating Miami, the Sixers missed 15 of their first 20 shots and hit 5 of 26 from three-point range. Game 2 is Thursday night in Boston. The Phillies also lost, falling 8-4 to the Miami Marlins last night in South Florida. Brian Anderson hit a home run, drove in 4 runs, and made a clutch catch in right field, helping the Marlins beat Jake Arrieta and the Phils. The series continues tonight, and Zach Eflin is scheduled to make his season debut for the Phils. Game time is set for 7:10. In the NHL playoffs, the Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Boston Bruins 4-2 to even that series at one game apiece, while in the Western Conference, the Vegas Golden Knights won 4-3 in overtime and now lead that series over the San Jose Sharks 2-1. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champions. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath.
Casey, in basketball parlance, what does the word boards mean?
Rebounds.
Thank you.
Okay. No, I thought it was a joke.
It's not a joke.
Oh, I swear to God, I thought you were joking.
No.
What was the line?
Boards.
So, like, no, I know, but what part about?
A rebound.
Yeah,
so like
a
certain amount of points and a certain amount of rebounds. I had never heard it referred to as boards. So last week I asked Nick about it, and I swear to this day I thought
I promise
you were joking.
And I said that I wasn't joking. You didn't believe me.
But you were laughing when you told me. So so it was on here, and I thought he kind of did it as a joke to me.
Is there a little Ron Burgundy going on here?
No, I was laughing because you worked for the Sixers for a stretch, and it surprised me that you'd never heard boards as another way of saying
rebounds, boards, birds. Sherbs, all that.
Yeah.
If you
Grundles,
park a sherb,
bunch of chodes,
yeah.
All right. Basketball parlance.
Rebounds is.
How many chodes did he have last night?
7.
Kathy, even some of us learn stuff from time to time on the Preston and Steve Show. Apparently. We, the members of the Preston.
You would think with our incredibly voluminous knowledge that there's no more we could cram into our huge craniums. But yes, every now and then.
You wedge something in there.
Now, depending on the validity of the information, that's a whole other thing.
Well, what I thought is after the Eagles won the Super Bowl is that the curse of me of any sort of, what's the word I'm looking for?
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
All right, hang on.
It's really early and words are hard to think of.
Back it up.
Sherbs.
Sherbs.
Yes. Now, back it up.
Describe the thing that you're trying to figure out.
Where I have to wear the same color of the
superstition.
Superstition. That was a big word. I thought all superstitions were lifted. And so when I walked into my room last night to watch the game, when my wife was sitting in my spot, I just went and sat in a different spot. But what I realized is she lost the game for us last night. She was sitting in my spot.
Is this? There you go. This is the spot for all sports.
This is my Sixer spot.
Oh, you have a Sixer spot.
I have a Sixer spot. It's in the one corner of my sectional. And she's sitting there last night.
See if you can come to terms with it today, Case. We'll all be praying for you.
We will. We're here for you.
We have a few things going on today. We have birthday bucks at 8 o'clock, $1,000 in cash. Your opportunity to win that. And if you haven't yet, hang in there. We got a ways to go.
So many chances.
5 opportunities today alone. So listen up for your chance on that. We have a Tattoos Day. Jenny Bones is stopping in. We're going to have listener John come in to get some ink this morning on the Preston and Steve Radio program. We have our friends of the Spirit of Philadelphia stopping in today. So we should have some giveaways. There's a Sunday Funday cruise, May 20th, with your cruise director, Marissa Magnata. She will be there. So
she's a wonderful cruise director.
We'll have those details coming up a little bit later on this morning. And we're going to have, and it's been a while since we've done this, a Not Your Average listener. We have a couple coming in today, and we'll find out what you think about them and their story. Is it worth a cash prize? That's up to you.
It's a very cool thing that they do that I think we all sort of find romantic in a way.
So we'll chat with them around 9 o'clock. And it is time. Today is May 1st. It's a new month, so we've got to flip the calendar. We have to say goodbye, but she'll always be here in the pages and amongst the family of the Preston and Steve Show, Miss Juliet, who is Miss April and our cover girl as well.
Yes.
So we are flipping the month over to May. And we now welcome in the lovely Lizzie.
Lizzie's month. Lizzie, we were just talking about Lizzie yesterday.
Yeah, we were talking about her yesterday. She is tatted up and she's got rainbow colored hair. And I mean literally
yes.
all the colors of the rainbow in her hair. And she's a gamer and she's a badass. And she also, she's got like her own website where if you pay a premium, you get to see nakedity.
Yes.
Of the lovely Lizzie.
Who cosplayer, is, video gamer, nakedity-erder.
She's awesome. So we welcome the month of May and Lizzie. So if you have a Preston and Steve Totally Office calendar, go ahead and flip that and enjoy for the entire month, all 31 days of May. Lizzie, who is from, is she from, actually from Atco, New Jersey, it says here?
Oh, I'm not sure about Lizzie. I don't know.
There was a misprint.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. There was a misprint in our calendar, and it turns out everybody's from New Jersey.
From the United Arab Emirates, Preston. Yeah, it was a little screw up.
No, but Lizzie's also
she's from Dubai.
We'll have to have her in. She's a talker, too. She's great. Really cool, man. So yeah. Welcome, Lizzie, to the month of May. All right, so those things are going on this morning and more. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. Entertainment Report. That's what we got set for you next.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24-karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Dude. All right, so stupid question this morning. We're going to give away $100 cash from Sergeant Scrap. Question I have for you this morning, a little rock trivia. Name the band member of the Rolling Stones who died in 1969 when the group was on tour. It's pretty easy. Pretty easy question.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. What band member of the Rolling Stones died in 1969 while the group was on tour in the United States? 215-263-WMMR. Today is Tuesday. It is May 1st. It is Emilia Clarke's birthday today. Daenerys Targaryen. From the Game of Thrones.
So is she's a major, major character, correct?
Major,
is she
major
the
character.
Major character?
It goes, I mean, she's one of the top three, yeah.
Because I'm starting it, you know, in probably this weekend I'm going to start. Because May, right, we're in May.
She becomes very formidable and very important. And
she gets less naked as the series goes on, correct?
She unfortunately does.
As her agent got her a better deal.
You will really enjoy the first season.
Okay.
All of it. So anyhow, she is celebrating her 31st birthday today.
And she's in Solo later this month.
She's what? Oh, she's in Solo?
Yeah. Yes.
Do we know who she plays or portrays?
Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Quite a departure.
What a Q-ra. Yeah. It looks like her name is
Q-ra.
I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's Q or Q.
Q-ra.
Q-ra.
Okay. Yeah, she's awesome. 31 today. James Badge Dale. I had to look him up.
Oh, I like that guy.
In Iron Man 3, he plays one of the bad guys.
Yes.
And he's also
good.
In World War Z, yeah, and The Departed, and a number of movies.
He has close-cropped hair, does he not?
Yeah. Like almost shaved all the way down.
Do we first see him in Lord of the Flies? Is that?
I don't know.
I think that's where.
It's quite possibly.
As a kid?
Yeah.
Okay. Quite possible, yeah.
He was the good kid, I think.
So he's 40.
I'm a good kid.
He's 40 today. Jamie Dornan, who plays Christian Grey in 50 Shades of Grey, he's 36.
First time I saw him was on the show Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
And that show was great the first two seasons, and then it's stinking up the joint.
Writer and director Wes Anderson also celebrates his birthday today. So movies like Rushmore and The Royal Tenenbaums, Grand Budapest Hotel.
Not your cup of tea, right?
Not really. Yeah. It's one of those flavors that just doesn't speak to me. And, you know, he's got clearly his own style.
I like him a lot. I like the Grand Budapest Hotel. It is, again, you got to be in the right mood.
Yeah. No. Is he what's that movie that's out now with the dogs? Isle of Dogs. That's him, right?
Yep.
Okay. So he's 49 today. Darcy Redsky, former bassist of Smashing Pumpkins And a lot of contention now because she thought that she was going to be on board for this reunion. And she said a couple things in the press. Billy said a few things in the press. And then now it ain't happening at all.
But the other members of the band seem to be siding with him in this whole thing, right?
I think so. Or they're staying quiet. They're not saying anything.
Yeah.
So Darcy is 50, so the big 5-0 for her today. And then, Steve, a couple of singer-songwriters that I wanted to mention and a couple of songs that you and I will definitely have some fun with. Judy Collins.
Yes.
Send in the Clowns.
I just listened to it the other night.
Are you
I
serious?
Swear to God. Friday night. Well, it's from a Little Night Music, the Stephen Sondheim play.
Okay.
A musical. It's a beautiful song. You forget how long that song is.
Yeah.
By the end, I needed them to send in the clowns.
Right, to just cheer you up
a
little bit. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what the opening line to that song is?
Isn't it rich?
Yes.
Are we a pair?
You didn't even finish your sentence.
Hear it last on the ground. You in the
I don't remember the words, but
where are the
clowns? Oh, my God. It's deathly slow, though.
It comes at a point in the musical that it really is an impactful song. But okay. You're not going to... Nick may put it on at a frat party. But...
Yes!
You guys want to crank it up?
Yeah. Put on some Collins.
All right, so not only...
Phil? No, Judy.
So Judy's 79, and then here's another one for you.
Right.
She celebrates the same birthday with Rita Coolidge, who gave us Don't Cry Out Loud.
Don't cry out loud.
Okay. Which gives you the message to just keep it inside.
Learn how to hide your feelings.
Yes, bottle
that's
it
what
up.
Therapists are for.
Deep inside.
Yeah.
Bury it. Don't show your emotions.
It's like the other ones. Who is Melissa? Baby cried the day the circus came to town.
That's the same song.
Is it?
Because she didn't want parades just passing by her.
Then is Rita Coolidge do that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty certain.
I did not know that.
I looked it up. Nick, if you could scroll down to her music. You go keep going down. There should be a list of songs. There you go.
Okay.
Did she do this?
Yep.
Maybe I have the wrong person, Steve.
Yeah, I think Melissa something did Don't Cry Out Loud.
Melissa Manchester?
Melissa Manchester!
I may be way off.
No, but they're very similar, though. I can see why you get them confused.
Well, this is a very uplifting, fun song right here.
I know. She was with Kris Kristofferson for the longest time.
Really?
She's a legitimate Native American.
Forevermore.
She did a Bond theme, too. Yeah, come on.
I like this song a lot. All right, maybe I'm wrong about Don't Cry Out Loud.
This is on the flip side of Don't Cry Out Loud.
Yes. Your love keeps lifting me higher.
The B-side to Send in the Clowns.
All right, so Rita Coolidge is 73. I wonder where I got that from. I thought I looked that information up today. All right, we also have another musician, Tim McGraw.
Yes.
Is 51 years old today, Tug's son. And they were estranged for a long time. It eventually brought it back around, which is a good thing because obviously Tug didn't have
could you imagine
much time left with the brain cancer.
Finishing off the life and, you know, not reconciling with your dad and everything. And they became very close at the end. Turns out he's a good actor, too.
He's a good actor, man. The Blind Side. He's great in that movie. And he lost a ton of weight after
he's
that,
he's cut up like nobody's...
is he really?
I want to beat the piss out of him.
Oh, wow. And he's married to Faith Hill.
He's married to Faith Hill, yeah.
That, too.
He's 50, so, he's 51.
Faith Hill handies on demand.
Wow.
I mean, life...
So the world is his oyster,
yeah.
All right, and then Ray Parker Jr.,
ah,
who brought us Ghostbusters, the theme song. And he is 64 today. And as you said, Steve, it's the exact ripoff of Huey Lewis in the News. What song?
I Want a New Drug.
I Want a New Drug.
And he was sued by Huey Lewis, and they won in court.
Yeah.
Because, in fact, the instructions, what sealed the precedent, I think they found a document from the producers of Ghostbusters that said they wanted something that had a I Want a New Drug riff.
Okay.
And he did it.
Oh, we're doing a mashup?
Yeah. We're reenacting the court.
I want a new drug, baby.
Actually, this would be a great mix-up.
Huey Lewis!
I want a new ghost.
All right. So Ray Parker Jr. is 64 today. Let's go to the phone and see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. Who was a member of the Rolling Stones who died in 1969 while the group was on tour in the U.S.? Let's go to, we'll go to John, see if we can get the answer. John, you're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Monkey pick ass.
Monkey pick ass. All right, I love it. John, who was the member of the band who died?
Brian Jones.
Yeah, Brian Jones.
Brian's dead.
Exactly. Drowned.
Yes.
Swimming pool. Oh,
he was the heartthrob of the band at that time. He was the looker.
Yeah.
In a band not full of lookers.
So, John, we're going to set you up. We got $100 cash. It's a cash card from Sergeant Scrap, the Delaware Valley's original mobile scrap metal service company. Don't take crap for your scrap. Get the highest price paid on insulated wire, guaranteed, SGT-scrap.com. We'll begin with Bill Cosby again. A juror who voted to convict him on three charges of aggravated sexual assault is opening up about his decision. Harrison Snyder is his name. Juror number one said he had no regrets or doubts about his decision. What just fell down?
We don't know.
What was that? Oh, there's a panel on the side.
Yeah, we have a panel that watches the show in the morning. And
no, not that. There's an actual panel, a giant piece of wood.
It's like our
joke. That houses our some of the electronic equipment here. That just
wow.
Well, interesting. Obviously.
So, quick question, President. If he's juror number one, is he then the jury foreman?
No.
Okay.
No, so the jury, everybody just has a number.
Okay.
And you can keep notes while you're on the jury.
Yes.
And they have a packet that you stick your notes in when you go to take a break, and it says it has your juror number on there.
All right.
And then you elect a foreman.
You were foreman, right?
Yeah. After all of the, after everything is done, all the evidence has come in, then you elect a juror foreman. So anyhow, he said, I think it was his deposition that really did it in. It was Cosby's admission to giving women quaaludes during the depositions in 2005, 2006. I think we have
a clip of him saying that on GMA, Preston.
If Marisa sent it over or not. Do we have the clips of the guy from GMA?
Yeah, right here.
Yep. All right, here we go. Let me play that.
I think it was his deposition, really. Ms. Cosby admitted to giving these quaaludes to women, young women, in order to have sex with them. Hearing everyone's comments about certain pieces of evidence and going through the different counts.
Yeah.
I thought that's what we all thought. We thought, how could you possibly have more damning evidence than that first deposition?
The 22-year-old said he started out the trial unsure if he deserved to be convicted. He had said, hearing from his accuser, Andrea Constant, and five other accusers helped change his mindset. If you hadn't heard from the other five and you had just heard her word, would that have mattered to you? This was according to the reporter, Lindsay Davis, who asked this. He said, I don't think so, because in the deposition, he stated he gave these drugs to other women. And I don't think it really necessarily mattered that these other five women were here, because he said it himself, that he used these drugs on other women. So that's what did it for this guy.
A, he said that in the deposition. And then B, when he was confronted by Constance's mother, he admitted basically to it and apologized. And that's when they set up the payoff. The $3.1 million that he gave her?
It was a little more, 3.4 maybe.
Okay.
But this guy is 22 years old, and they said that he said he knew nothing about the Me Too movement. And
didn't know about Cosby. He never watched the show.
Yes,
no,
yeah.
Didn't really watch the show. Cosby.
Which is actually what you would want. Yeah. You'd want someone who is
impartial as possible.
Yeah.
But we didn't think they'd ever be able to find that, but apparently they found a few.
There are people out there. Look, you know, I mean, it's, you know, some people just have their
head. I don't have a TV.
They have their head.
Seriously.
Prior to being selected to serve, he said he had, like Kathy said, he had never heard of the allegations before. So it's over and done with and on to sentencing. The Crown's Claire Foy. Love
yes,
her.
She's amazing.
You should
watch the show, Kathy.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's excellent. Both seasons.
Is set to receive $275,000 in back pay after it was revealed that she made less than her co-star Matt Smith, who's backing her up, by the way.
Yeah, he came in as Doctor Who, but right, she's playing the freaking queen.
Yeah, he plays Prince Philip. As the producers of The Crown were responsible for budgets and salaries, the actors are not aware of who gets what and cannot be held personally responsible for the pay of their colleagues, is according to Left Bank Pictures, the production company. We're absolutely united with the fight to fair pay, free of gender bias, and free of rebalancing of the industry's treatment of women in front of the camera and behind the scenes. So
In March, they had claimed that the pay gap was due to the fact that Foy, who is less well-known than Smith, thanks to his role in Doctor Who. But he spoke out telling Page Six, I think actually she probably should have been paid that originally in the first place. And I think everyone's taken a long, hard look at themselves and gone, here's where we went wrong and here's where we can go forward and make it right. Because she is she's the star of the show.
Yeah, it's the nature of the beast. When you're negotiating in entertainment, different salaries, sure. That's part of the deal. But she's the focal point of the series.
Yep, exactly. Kim Kardashian appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show yesterday. She weighed in on a number of topics, including why her sister Khloe is still in Cleveland. Kim is the first in the clan to pipe up in public about Khloe's situation with Tristan Thompson. She confirmed to Ellen what tabloids had already been reporting, that Khloe hasn't decided whether or not she's going to stay with this guy. Kim said, I feel like Khloe always dives into relationships and puts her whole heart into everything. I mean, she's moved there. And I've seen her be in a really tough situation before in her last relationship with Lamar. And so I think just the family gets so emotionally invested in whoever each other is with. Like, we treat them like family and we give them everything like our whole soul. We treat them like their family member. So we really were rooting for Khloe and we still are, you know. I'm writing verbatim, by the way.
I'm looking at this picture of Ellen, and Ellen gets Kim Kardashian to open up a lot. But do you think Ellen wants to nail Kim?
Why wouldn't she?
She seems. I mean, she definitely seems enchanted by her. But no way does Khloe stay in Cleveland. From where you live, from what Calabasas?
Yeah,
to Cleveland.
To Cleveland,
really?
I love that that tourism video. It's a lampooning of the town.
Come see both of our buildings.
Yeah. I'm sure there's nice parts of Cleveland as well.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
There are hoity-toity neighborhoods in every decent-sized city. But she continued on to say, "Yeah, she's still there." And she wanted to have some alone time with the baby and, figure out what her next steps are. She said, I think it must be so hard to have your heart broken and fall in love all in a day or two, all happening at the same time. And Steve, do you have the dun-dun-dun?
Yes.
I'm ready to go because I have this announcement to make. On Monday, Kim also unfollowed Tristan on Instagram.
Oh.
Whoa. And he tweeted out a tweet, his first tweet in a long while, and it was met with a lot of acrimony and response.
Yeah. What was it?
He's labeled as, he's basically like, hey, go. I forget who he was talking about, what team, or maybe a former player, and he's just trying to, it's kind of a generic encouraging tweet, and people jumped on him. They see him because he was openly cheating on a pregnant girlfriend at the time. The fans and the fan base are not letting him off the hook on this.
And now they have baby True.
True. I'm lucky in love.
By the way, Kim is the only one who has unfollowed Tristan on Instagram.
Well, they all will. Watch.
Saturday Night Live star A.D. Bryant married longtime love Connor O'Malley over the weekend.
I love her.
Bryant shared the good news on Monday via Instagram, tagging a shot of herself walking down the aisle with heart emojis. The I Feel Pretty star announced her engagement to O'Malley on Late Night with Seth Meyers in April of last year.
She's one of the best of the current troupe of SNL performers.
She said, we've been together almost 9 years.
Wow.
So a lot of the shimmer and shine has faded and we're just living every damn day as best we can. She said, we've seen each other through a lot. Like, he used to work as a full-blown garbage man. Not a joke, just a garbage man. And I used to sweep up hair at a barber shop. And she said, we've been through it. She also spilled on the proposal. She said, I have my purse and our mail and all these boxes, and I wanted to, I walked to our door and our dog had a bow tie on. And I was like, my dog doesn't wear a bow tie. Where is he going tonight? Basically, the second I shut the door, a man who I discovered was Connor frantically came around the corner and was just like, will you marry me? She said, no box, no I love you, just a man in full terror, standing very far from a dog in a bow tie, just holding a loose ring, going, will you marry me? And I was like, what? I truly couldn't comprehend what was going on, and I kept saying, is this a joke? Are you doing a joke? And I said, of course I'll marry you. I love you, and it was really nice. So they've gotten married.
There you go. They kind of thought they weren't going to do the marriage round, and then, yep, they did it.
They went for it. Danny DeVito, our buddy, has gotten his very own day in his native New Jersey. The Asbury Park Press reports that Asbury Park City Council honored the actor Saturday night by declaring his birthday November 17th as Danny DeVito Day in his hometown.
Oh, I wonder if he's going to come back for Danny DeVito Day.
Well, he was just there.
Well, yeah, but it's not till November, so okay. I would imagine he's going to come back. Maybe. It's his birthday, so he might have other plans. But the honor was announced as DeVito appeared at the Asbury Park Music and Film Festival, so he was there. The 73-year-old was born in Neptune Township and raised in Asbury Park. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy also spoke at the festival, saying Danny has never forgotten where he came from. So
that's cool. So cool.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Evan Rachel Wood feels totally comfortable in the buff on the set of HBO's Westworld.
Well, that's great news.
She told C Magazine with a laugh, "It's not even weird anymore." She's like, "We've all been naked so often that it's just normal. I show up for work and I say, okay, I'm naked in a lab and Anthony Hopkins is here." She said, "It's so surreal. There isn't even time to be stressed." She was at the Tribeca Film Festival last week with the show's creators, Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy. They said they've become conscientious about making sure that men and women get equal time naked.
They apparently have. Out of the gate, the first episode, there's more junk.
Yeah. They said part of what's just lovely to watch as a producer on this, too, is how the nudity isn't only female on the show. There's also male nudity. And it's funny because we talk about these things in a gendered way because often it's only women who get naked and only women who are vulnerable. But it's been a very vulnerable position for the men to be in as well.
In episode 2, Preston, Ed Harris and Anthony Hopkins are naked and have a sword fight.
Yes. Oh,
amazing.
Dude, on that show, I wouldn't doubt it. So anyhow, that the nudity continues in all its fun on Westworld. On her 33rd birthday yesterday, Gal Gadot paused to share an inspiring message with fans. On Instagram, she wrote, "This has been an unexpected journey, and on this B-Day, I want to stop for a moment, look back on it, and wish that waves of hope and happiness will surround us all." It was a black and white shot of her, of herself smiling in the ocean. She said it's been quite a year, of course, for her. Before landing the role in the Patty Jenkins-helmed hit, she almost quit acting and went back to school. She was going to give up on it.
That would have been a disaster!
It would have been. She is the mother of two girls, Alma, who is 6, and Maya, who is 1.
Right after the shot, Preston, you can't. It's a still photo, you don't see it, but 3 dolphins came up with the birthday cake for her.
I wouldn't doubt it.
That's how she's like, you know, like when Snow White goes out and the birds help with everything.
Dude, mm-hmm. That's exactly what I think she is like.
Yeah.
All forms of nature. Yeah, bow
deer
to
comes up to her,
You know? She's so wonderful. She's married to her husband, Yaron Varzano.
Who's obviously an idiot.
Why is that?
No, I just...
I agree with you.
He's jealous. Yeah.
All right, so Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts, Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Quentin Tarantino, Meryl Streep, and several others have filed separate documents objecting to the sale of the Weinstein Company's assets. This is in a bid to secure money that they are owed for several major films.
Like a lot of money.
Yeah.
Many millions of dollars. So besides being a predatorial pervert and scumbag, he was pilfering this money from his clients.
Each filing also claims the Weinstein Company failed to provide them with an accounting for amounts owed. So they are filing these separate documents against that company. Russell Brand revealed on social media Monday that his mother, Barbara, who is 71, suffered numerous life-threatening injuries. It was a car accident.
Oh, man.
And the 42-year-old added that because of the injuries, he has canceled and or delayed his rebirth tour that he was planning. He told the Sun that his mother had just finished chemo for her 6th bout of cancer before the crash. He told the paper, "I'm sad for my mom, really vulnerable. She only finished chemotherapy a month ago, and for her to be in this situation already is very difficult. The man who was driving, a friend of mine, Taz, he's making a good recovery." Barbara was pulled bleeding from the comedian's chauffeur-driven limo on Thursday after another car had crashed into it. Yeah. She was reportedly on her way to babysit for Russell and his wife Laura's 18-month-old daughter, jeez, Mabel. So, yeah.
She looks young. We're looking at a picture of her.
Yeah, 71 years old. She looks fantastic. So, hopefully, she is going to be okay, but he's putting the tour on hold. Jennifer Lawrence hung in Kentucky this weekend, dancing and letting her hair down at the Woodford Reserve Distillery on Friday. She was back in her home state to raise funds for the Jennifer Lawrence Arts Fund. But then she had a fashion crisis on Sunday.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
An insider said she actually forgot the Dolce & Gabbana dress that she was going to wear for the opening of Derby Week at Churchill Downs in New York City. She had to have her dress flown down via private jet just to learn that it had a pizza stain on it.
Oh my God.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, well, it was for a Save the Environment fund she was doing.
Yeah, how do you get pizza on it?
I'm sorry, we have to charter a jet for my dress. So, anyhow.
Or could you buy another dress while you're down there?
Well, it's a Dolce & Gabbana, man. Ryan Reynolds.
There's no Marshalls in the area?
Ryan Reynolds is feeling sad. Avengers Infinity War had the biggest box office opening of all time. So Reynolds is doing his best to rain on the parade. The actor, who stars, of course, in Deadpool, as Deadpool, shared a shot of a faux rejection letter they sent him when he tried to band up with them, meaning the Avengers. And so he said, and this, let me see, it says, "From a guy who never knows when to quit, I'm glad you guys never did. Congrats," he tweeted. And this is apparently, the letter reads, "No, absolutely not. Go bother Professor X. No." The letter is dated April 14th, 2012, weeks before the official opening of the first Avengers film. So he apparently, Deadpool wanted to be an Avenger, and they wouldn't let him do it.
You see who signed it?
No.
Sincerely, Tony Stark.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Infinity War has already banked 630+ million globally.
Do you know what, looking at the various interviews that the actors for Infinity Wars have done, and all of these guys seem to really enjoy the Marvel environment. Like, it's a big
social club.
They're having fun.
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.'s posts alone show what a good time they're having.
And he's kind of the soul of the whole group.
He is.
Yeah, he knows how to keep it real.
Yep. Speaking of that, the Avengers, in fact, Disney is revising its all-time record weekend opening for that movie, making it even more impressive than everyone thought. The Marvel blockbuster earned 258+ mil instead of the 250 million they originally believed it would earn. So it went further than they had anticipated. And it now stands as an all-time record opening of 640.9 million, unseating the previous champ Universal's Fate of the Furious, which was 541.9 million. That's more than, or almost $100 million more.
They pissed all over us.
Yeah, they pissed all over you?
They pissed all over us.
Yeah.
They say you inherit the sins of your father.
Yeah, you know who doesn't do that?
Family.
Family doesn't do
family
that.
Doesn't piss
absolutely
on you. You piss on your family, but they don't piss on you. You know, Pastor, they say we inherit the sins of our fathers.
Yes. I hear that they do.
That's every morning I hear them say that.
Yeah, is that, that's on a commercial?
It's for a commercial.
Okay.
And no one knows what the hell it means. They say we inherit the sins of our fathers.
Following explosive fights on social media, Jersey Shore star Ronnie Margot Ortiz, he and his girlfriend apparently are done. He wrote on Instagram, on an Instagram story to Jen Harley.
Yeah, he's a real silver tongue devil.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
"Note to self, can't turn a natural born hoe into a housewife."
Damn.
If you find them in the gutter, then leave them in the gutter.
Note to self.
Yeah. Ronnie later apologized, writing, "I want to apologize.
I love you."
Earlier to my fans, and especially to Tater Tot Kitty.
Really?
Tater Tot Kitty?
That's somebody's handle. Like, I don't know if that's her handle or whatever, but I want to apologize to Tater Tot Kitty.
"Dear Tater Tot Kitty, I'm so sorry for those terrible things I wrote."
I writ. He said, "I acted out of my gut and not rationally.
I was not rational.
I should have never..."
Apologies to you too, Ravioli Ramon.
He said, "I should have never acted in such a manner," spelled M-A-N-O-R.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Come on, man.
And so where he lives. It's the name of the place. "I should never have acted in such a manner." That's what he says. As you pull up, Preston, it says, "I never should have acted in a..." manner.
And then he writes, "My deepest apologizes."
Wait, seriously?
"My deepest apologizes."
APOLOGIZES.
All right.
"My deepest apologizes."
"My deepest apologizes to Tater Kitty."
The pair welcomed a baby girl named Ariana Sky together less than a month ago.
Aww.
"It was wild to be there in the delivery room. I mean, the baby fell out of her butthole."
So, yeah.
Oh, this dude, what a creep.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, I don't know what she did, but, like...
Dude, I'm sure she's a...
This is the mother of your child.
Yeah. I know! A month! A month! You are such a jerk.
Yeah. But she's a hoe, and yeah, you should
a
leave
natural
her,
born hoe. Come
and
on.
You should find her in the gutter, if or leave her in the gutter. If you find her in the gutter, then leave her in the gutter.
To my sweetest tater kitty.
Is that tater kitty, right?
Yeah, tater tot kitty.
Tater tot kitty. Yeah.
Yeah. I love tater tots. Okay. All right. Did anyone else hear that besides me?
I love tater tots.
It's a noir film. Yeah, and the thoughts in his head go to deep fried potatoes. All right, and then finally, one last quick story. Evil Genius, the true story of America's most diabolical bank heist, follows a story. And you guys know the story of a 2003 plot to rob a bank in Erie, PA.
Yes.
During what became known as the Pizza Bomber Heist. So this is a show on Netflix. A pizza delivery man with a bomb around his neck walked into a bank. The FBI became embroiled in a scavenger hunt across the town. And the murder of the would-be robber was eventually publicly broadcast. And there are questions as to whether the guy did it himself.
Committed suicide,
Or it accidentally exploded. The four-part series investigates the mastermind behind the robbery. The show drops May 11th. That should be kind of interesting.
Well, this is a show Jason Reitman mentioned yesterday.
I started watching it last night. It's called Wild Wild Country.
How is it?
It's bizarre.
Wild Wild Country on Netflix. It's a multi-part documentary, right?
In a small town in Oregon, like just a handful of people live in this town out in the middle of nowhere. And this cult, this Indian-based cult, comes in a la from India, like a guru or something
right.
Has this group of people and starts to spread and get this following, and more Westerners get on board, and they decide, and the guys just got oodles of money. They come in and they take over. I only watched like the first 40 minutes because I started watching it late last night and I had to go to bed.
They take over the whole town.
Yeah, it took place in 1981 is when it started. And it's...
I want to see it.
It's just one of those people that magically takes control of a whole big group of people and they start a whole new life. And it's pretty wild, man.
Yeah.
So it's called Wild Wild Country. And so far, I'm hooked. I'm going to be in on this. All right, we got to get to the clips.
Come on. Let's
do it. Splitting Up Together is back after 2 weeks of hiatus. The series follows a recently divorced couple having their relationship being reignited when given the option to see other people. Jenna Fisher explains the show's premise in this clip. Here we go.
When the show opens, we find out that the two lead characters are getting a divorce, but they're going to do something called bird nesting. And what that is when the children stay in the main house and the parents alternate week to week. It's a sort of modern take on divorce and co-parenting.
Thank you. New episode premieres tonight at 9:30 on ABC.
So her co-star is Kate Hudson's brother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The dude that we had in here?
No.
Other brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, not Wyatt, whatever that guy's name
is. Okay. All right, we'll go to the next clip. Black-ish has put characters through rough relationships left and right, especially after this season was cut short after an episode was shelved due to creative differences. In this clip, Tracy Ellis Ross talks about the reality of the show.
Our show is consciously authentic and consciously honest. And a lot of the subject matter that we courageously dive into does end up coming across that way. They're topics that need to be unpacked and discussed, and I think that's why they're uncomfortable for people.
Yeah! Blackish premieres with a new episode tonight, 9 o'clock on ABC.
This show is good. They definitely push boundaries.
Absolutely. All right, and there you go. That's what I got for you this morning in the entertainment report. We have several things going on today. We're going to have a Not Your Average Listener, a couple of people stopping by for that, and we'll see if you think that they deserve our cash prize.
They actually slept in our parking lot.
No
way. Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll find out how they did that.
Find out why later.
And we have Tattoos Day taking place. Listener John getting some work done from Jenny Bones. We have MMR's birthday bucks coming up in less than an hour. $1,000. Want you to win it.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Foo Fighters. Metallica. Dorothy.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Today is May 1st, and we did the ceremonial flipping over of the President Steve Tolley office calendar. We went from the lovely Juliet to the wonderful Lizzie, or Elizabeth Rose. And she is a tatted up, sexy gal with this multi-rainbow colored hair, and you can check out pictures on PrestonSteve.com. If you follow her on Instagram and Twitter, she posts some pretty
awesome photos. But she is loaded up with tattoos, which can be a really, really cool, sexy thing. Or for some people, it can be a bit of a turnoff.
Yeah, I'm in the former. I think they look great.
Yeah, I think they can. You know, especially really
if they're done right,
well done.
Yeah, I always say, Preston, which you should look like you. There is some sort of thematic something going on as opposed to a refrigerator with magnets stuck on it.
That's a good point.
And I think if you do that, you know, it can really it's a form of self expression.
There was an article in the New York Post. Steve forwarded this to me last week, and it highlights tattoos on people and it getting in the way of your dating or romantic life. And they cited a few different examples of this. In fact, one is from Philadelphia. They have a girl named Christelle or Orito, who, you know, I don't mind saying her name because it was in this article. She's a 37-year-old tattoo artist from Philadelphia. Not sure where she works, but it says that her tattoos include the word forever spelled out backwards on her face. And an entirely black sleeve on her left arm. And she is talking about this particular subject in the tattoo world about whether or not it can affect you, you know, meeting somebody. She said a lot of times they say I'm just not the kind of girl that they want to take home. Just because I look like this doesn't mean I'm trashy, though, she says.
And I think she looks kind of cool. It's you know, it's kind of an interesting look on her.
There's a certified sex therapist that they interviewed in the article, Michael Aaron, who says that the issue comes up a couple times a year in his office. He said it's an easy thing to cover a tattoo up. So if the person doesn't want to do that, it's worth exploring further. 2 years ago, this guy named Drew, this is an interesting story. 29-year-old warehouse supervisor from Staten Island got an ultimatum from his fiance. Either he had to go or he had to get rid of the tattoo of an ex-girlfriend's mother's name on his butt.
There you go. That's the issue.
Ex-girlfriend's mom?
Because he was having sex with his ex-girlfriend's mother.
I don't know why, but apparently it was on there. They don't go into the story of why that was there. He said it was another girl's name. She wasn't cool with that. He said, I didn't argue with her.
And I would agree with that.
He immediately made an appointment with his tattoo artist, and now a large black square with the words keep out covers the mother's name on his butt.
Okay. To that point, and in the article I saw those words about easier to remove a tattoo. Is it? I don't think it is. It's still a bit of work.
It's still a bit of work, and it still takes a while.
It takes a while.
And it's painful.
Unless you're doing a cover-up, as he did, obviously, with this gentleman who got the mother's name blocked out. But, I mean, it's work.
And I still don't think that it completely 100% goes away. Like, you can still see kind of like a shading of something.
Yeah, it's like a discoloration on the skin. Yeah, Lauren Harris came back. Actually, Dr. Genter did hers, and she had two removed, and it took several visits to his office to have them faded out, essentially.
Yeah.
Steve, you remember the story about the guy who discovered the underwater city?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. Learned about the dietary constraints.
Yes. Well, he made another mistake in high school, and the dietary constraints were no hot dogs when you're under the ocean, which everybody knows.
It's obvious. I mean, as if we needed to be told that they would expand because of the pressure and blow your lungs out.
Obvious. He also, in high school, got a tattoo with a girl's name of his girlfriend in high school, and you know, names for tattoos in general are sketchy and iffy because you never know what's going to happen. But in high school, even worse. And so what he did was it was a portrait of her, and then underneath the portrait was her name. And it was a unique spelling of a name. I don't remember if it was Carrie or Carrie. It doesn't matter. When they broke up, which was inevitable, he had it covered up, and they just extended her hair down down her body, so it covered up the name. So then it was just a portrait of a woman on his on his body.
So I'm 21 years into my marriage with Claire, and I would do it now. I think we're in the safe zone. But I mean, you really need to consider if you're going to get somebody's name or likeness tattooed on you. The classic story is Johnny Depp had Winona Ryder. He was involved with Winona Ryder for a long time. That relationship went south, and he had it changed into Wino.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Which he turns out he is, so it's actually accurate.
The name thing, never a good idea. I think everybody knows that. But
I have four names on my body.
Well, yeah, but those are your kids. That's different. It's your family. Yeah, and like you said, Steve, after 20 years, if you want to get your wife's name tattooed, fine. But
it's working out.
I know somebody who has it straight across her chest, his name, and she is no longer dating that person. So now the person she's dating sees somebody else's name right above her boob. It's so awful.
Every time they're getting intimate, it'd be like you taping a picture of a former boyfriend on your forehead.
Right? Yeah. Like,
so aside from just getting names tattooed, I want to see if it's killed a relationship for you. If a certain tattoo, things started to go a certain way, and then all of a sudden they see this tattoo and they're like, oh, I can't be with you.
I have to imagine that it happens a fair amount, because Preston, even if you're okay with it, when you start to fight with someone and you look down and see the name or whatever, it's great. And what about that?
Well, not just a name, because listen to this. The woman that I started talking about initially, she spent, she had gotten a bunch of, she got a tattoo covered up that her ex had inscribed on her inner thigh, and it said, slut wife.
Okay.
So it's not just names. Shortly before her divorce, she got that done. The piece had caused issues for her in the bedroom. She said, I was dating a guy, and when we slept together, he saw my thigh, and he said, we need to talk about the tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, I broke up with him. If he couldn't accept me, I didn't want to be with him, she said.
I mean, I follow sucky tattoos on Instagram, and there are some real winners out there. I mean,
phrases like that.
Oh, dude, this one says, you know, like, and it's on her, and you can't even say, like, it's not abs.
Yeah.
On her gut, above her thing, it says, this pee ain't gonna eat itself, or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
How about whore and a half?
Whore and a half.
Yeah, so, you know, slut wife, whore and a half. Mm. This pee ain't gonna eat itself. is this it, Casey?
This pee... Yeah. Clean.
This pee juicy.
And then
pee meaning they like a kitty cat.
There's another one after that.
Okay.
That's Judi Dench.
let me go to some calls here. 215-263-WMMR's number. I want to hear if it messed up a relationship. I'm going to go to Rin. Is that your name first? Rin?
Yeah, it's Ren.
All right, Ren. And but this has done the opposite for you, right?
Yeah, I've been getting tattoos since I was 17. I have 57 tattoos, plus if you don't count my cover-ups.
Okay.
And you can't really see them except for the few on my hands and a few behind my ears. But guys think that, like, it has actually helped my dating life. Like, they want to see what they cannot see.
Okay.
It's different, though.
Sure. They want to get you naked.
Yeah.
They would want to anyway.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But listen, have you ever had an occasion where it's clearly been a turnoff for someone? I mean, I know you get guys. It doesn't mean that it's killed your relationship with romantic relationship. But occasionally you got to come across somebody that's like, I can't do this.
I have been on a few dates where I have been told that I'm not the kind of girl that should be taken home to a mother.
There you go.
And that's what this gal said.
That's what she's saying.
And does it have to do with the tattoos? You think?
Absolutely.
Plus, now, do you have anything along the lines of slut wife on you anywhere?
No, I don't. But I have 3 dermals and, you know, I have skulls on me and it just... Some people are just turned off.
Well, okay.
My husband thinks it's great, but...
All right, so your husband, let me ask you, at 57 tattoos, though, would you give the advice to people getting tattoos and to women and guys who think this is... They're in a forever thing. Would you say that it's a wise move to get a name tattooed on you of a lover or a girlfriend or something of that nature? Or is it best to refrain from stuff like that?
The only name that I have on me is my mother's name.
Mm-hmm.
I would not get a lover's name on. Like, I'm married, and I still won't get my husband's name tattooed on me.
There you go.
He understands that.
Some people see it as like a... like a bad juju, bad mojo.
Yes.
Something happens and it goes bad, right?
And that's what I told him. If it's bad juju and I don't want anything to happen, like we have matching tattoos, but it's not each other's name.
I agree. It's like ending up on the cover of Madden, right, Casey?
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Thanks,
Ren. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll see you later. Yeah, I think tattooed women, obviously they have to be physically attractive, but I think it can be an accentuation.
Oh, my God.
Very, very hot. Now, whether I would, in my single days, you know, be in a relationship with somebody that's got stuff all over their neck and things like that, I don't know. Now, maybe an intimate relationship, but as a steady, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. I don't know.
You had Michelle the Bombshell was in here. Remember that?
I thought she was really hot, but she had this big thing on her forehead.
Yeah, for bagels and such.
For bagels. That's what it said. Bagels and such. No, but I thought she was a sexy woman. But it was the forehead thing. I was like, nah.
that's too much. And when you start getting on the hands and the face,
yeah.
I'm kind of out.
I'm sure this is judgy and douchey of me, but if it's above the collar, it's a turnoff.
Yeah.
You know, and if
it's just your preference.
For the same reason that people who get tattoos have a preference and may not get it above the collar, you're entitled to have that. You know, that's. You're if somebody wants to get that, that's the same reason you may not be attracted to a physical type. It's okay to say you're not attracted to that.
But what's the motivation for a face tattoo?
You want to look like Mike Tyson.
You want to be seen. You want to make a statement. You want people to notice you. You want people to look at you. I would think is part of it at least. Hang on, I gotta go to this.
It can't be real.
Hang on, let me go to what?
I know what you're going to.
I'm gonna go to Joe. Yeah. Hey Joe, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, Joe. All right, do tell us this story, please.
Yeah, so basically, long story short, this was probably about a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
I was like 23 at the time, and we were out at some like club down in the city, and I was like hitting on this like mid-age lady. She's probably in her 30s. I don't know her exact age.
All right.
But so I'm hitting on her, and she's like, you know, saying like everything's going well, and I just had like some like just like vibe about her that she was just like
can't drop the S-bomb, but anyway, go ahead, freaky stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, freaky stuff, yes. And so, lo and behold, we end up going, you know, back to her place. She was in the city for, like, the weekend or whatever.
Yep.
And, you know, everything's getting frisky, we're both drunk, yada, yada, yada. And, of course, you know, the clothes end up coming off. And I noticed, like, she had a tattoo above her private part.
Yep.
And it said, it's a boner garage. I'm like,
we got to clarify. It said boner garage.
Boner garage. Boner garage, but it said boner garage.
Wow. Right. Joe, did they do state inspections?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm like,
Steve, two bays.
Two bays. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the back bay is never.
Never you only fit motorcycles and smaller cars in the back bay.
But Joe, how did you feel when you saw that?
So I looked, and I mean, like I said, we were both pretty drunk, so I was kind of like, I wasn't thinking right, but it almost like sobered me up. I like looked at, I'm like, what does this mean? She's like, what do you think it means? I'm like, do you park like a lot of cars in here? And she's like, oh, you know, like just like use your imagination type thing. And I'm like freaked out. I'm like actually getting scared. I'm like,
yeah, this woman's going to stab me.
And that's not, it's not like there's nuance to it. It says boner garage. That's like having an arrow pointing down saying, this is my vagina.
Yeah. I want to go to some other calls, but real quick, Joe, real quick. Did you end up sealing the deal on that?
We sealed the deal, but I quickly got out of there.
Okay. We got to let you go. Yeah. You got to watch your mouth. He had to shower. I had to dump out on that part and other S. I want to go to, now this one I would imagine has happened on occasion. Let me go to Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne. Good morning.
Hey, how you guys? You guys rock.
Thank you, Suzanne. So we're talking, she's wooing already at 7:30. We're talking about people who have had a tattoo that's kind of killed the deal for them. What's your story?
I'll tell you this. I was like 26. I'm an idiot. And I dated this guy for almost 6 months. We made out. Then we got, I'm going to use clean virgin here, hot and heavy. And I saw that he had swastika tattoo on his arm. Never seen it. 6 months. Never noticed him. That much of an idiot.
Wow.
I'm number one or number five black listeners. So it was just a very awkward moment after the hot and heavy moment. I looked at him and said, is that what I think it is? I said, I think I have to go.
Suzanne, so he's with you. You're a black listener, and he has a swastika on his arm and never. Yes. So he was, do you believe he was purposely keeping it covered from you?
I don't know. Maybe he was just doing like one of those curiosity things. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It was just one of those, another embarrassing moments of my life.
God almighty. Listen, there's no question about the message that's being sent there, but you had to be like, what the F? So he had to really, if you're together for that amount of time and that was the first time you'd seen it, or did he slip? Did he forget? Would he wear his shirt when you got intimate?
He was coming out. He was laying in the bed, and actually it was the first time I see it because he always wore short sleeves, so I never seen it on his his shoulder, like by his shoulder.
Yeah.
I never paid attention to it, nor me.
Did you say anything? So did you say anything to him?
I just was like, I gotta go.
Wow.
To keep it clean, he got his off, I got mine off.
Hey, did he soften his stance on white supremacy after he slept with the black lady?
I give him a high five.
I think you turned him around. He's probably made it a closed box now.
All right. Thanks, Suzanne.
A box with four compartments.
Appreciate it. It's nice talking to you. Listen, we had a guy in here. We had a black guy in here one time. He was a listener to the show. And it was wild. He had two very large swastika tattoos on him. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I don't.
What?
Yeah. And he tried to explain it to me of why he did it. He didn't have a Nazi stance. It was some kind of duplicity symbol that he was trying to indicate. And he's like, most people don't get it, but this is the message I'm trying to go with. And he tried to explain it to me. I didn't really get it either. Hmm. Even though that symbol has other origins.
There are Hindu origins.
Yeah, it didn't start with the Nazis.
But no.
I think they've taken that over by now in culture.
Yeah, Cosby now is known for other stuff than the Cosby. Right. So yeah.
But that has got to be an issue for that guy, I would imagine.
He
explains it. People would have a hard time understanding it.
You may want to cover that over.
I'm going to go to, let's see, there's a number of ones here. I'm going to go to Quinn. Hi, Quinn, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up, Quinn?
So I have this meme from probably like 2012 on my butt. It's called D-butt. I think that's what I'm allowed to say.
Yeah, the word like Richard, but Richard butt.
It's
but with
D-butt
a D.
It says?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, with a couple more letters. And my ex did not like it at all.
All right. So you got it. Did you know that it was going to be an issue the first time you revealed it to her?
She was there when I got it.
Yeah.
So I didn't think so, but I've got a bunch of tattoos, so I don't really care necessarily.
Okay.
See it. But yeah, she didn't appreciate it.
And it impacted your sex life is what it says up here. Is that correct?
It has, yeah. It's turned some people away.
Turned some people away from your ass?
Yeah, I don't know what position we could be doing where that would be seen.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, because normally in my dating days, I don't remember women really getting a good look at my ass.
Yeah.
No.
Well, they're not doing
I do it differently than you do, Kathy.
Kathy uses strap-ons.
I guess she doesn't
Kathy's
like that.
Straight up strap-ons.
She's a dom. Yeah, a lot of people don't know
it's what she does. It's cool.
All right.
We love her.
Quinn, are you going to get covered up?
Not a chance.
Okay. It's too much sentimental meaning to you.
No, some people actually appreciate its hilarity a little bit.
May I suggest something, as far as being all things to everyone, could you put one on that says the C word butt, just to have everything, all grounds covered?
Yeah, on the other butt cheek.
Yeah.
I've got female kissy lips right next to
it. Female kissy lips. That's what Lauren Harris had removed from her butt.
Yeah. Stop drawing on your ass.
Thanks, Quinn. Appreciate it. By the way, we got word that the Boner Garage story is actually from the movie We're the Millers.
Yeah, I didn't.
I saw that movie. I don't remember that story in there. So dude was making it up, I believe.
I could tell. He was stuttering all over the place.
Too many details. Let me go to Jim. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Yes.
That's what Casey once done.
Now bow to your possum.
So, Jim, tell us your story, please.
All right. I'm going to put it as nicely as possible. So I dated a girl for a month, as long as I could handle it before it bugged the crap out of me. So it was really well done. She must have paid a lot of money for it. I didn't ask for it as well. It was a picture of herself on her back, completely naked.
Okay.
And had Jesus Christ on his hands and knees performing an act.
No way.
You're saying that she had the image was her on her back receiving oral pleasures from Jesus?
Yes. And there's more.
Okay.
There's a gun to Jesus' head that she's holding, and above everything was
the words "Jesus' Last Supper."
What?
I'm not even joking.
Not even joking.
Right. When you now you said you could only stand it for about a month and then you had to bail. I understand.
Yeah,
I
could get over it maybe, but yeah. No.
No, I couldn't.
What was her story? Because everybody's got a story. You ask them about a tattoo and they're going to tell you why they got it done or what the idea was. What was her story with that ink?
Well, it was about something happened to her with her family and everything where she went through a phase. She was about 12 years older than me.
Yeah.
So then, something about it was her family. I didn't want to get too much into it.
I'd love to hear the story that precipitated that tattoo.
Was it traumatic?
Yeah, very traumatic.
It had to be. Yeah. Yeah. Like she hated
God
life.
Messed with her or something like that.
Okay.
So. That to me smacks of striking out and, yeah, you know, just directionless anger.
Where on her body was it?
It was on her back. It was about as big as her back. Probably it was like a... almost 2 foot tall.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. See, Kathy, you would see that because of the strap-on
right
stuff.
Right. You know.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks. And did you tell, Jim, when you broke up, did you tell her that that was the reason or did you find something else?
No, that was the reason. That was a perfectly good reason to break up.
Yeah,
with
I think so.
I'm trying to look for reasons other than that tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I mean, that's definitely thanks, worse than a giant monkey hanging between your nipples.
That's still a
you know what,
there
though? We had years ago, RC came in and did a tattoo and worked his RC magic. And there was at the end of the day, there magic was a giant monkey holding onto the guy's two nipples. Since then, though, the guy has apparently parlayed that into a fair amount of action.
Has he?
That's what he said.
I don't think that's what his friend said.
I don't know. It was a couple of years ago that we heard that, so I don't know how things are now for him.
Maybe we're
not getting any younger.
I'd like to see how it looks these days. I actually laughed out loud thinking about that the other day.
He's a sad monkey now.
I'm going to go to, it says JMO. JMO, are you there?
Yeah, what's up, guys? You guys are off.
Thanks, man. All right, so you have a pretty controversial tattoo, and it has caused issues before.
It has. I've had people that absolutely love it. I have people that absolutely hate it. But okay. Growing up, never been to church, never been a religious person, and get a few drinks in me. I have a 666 tattooed on my ankle, and on the inside of my right arm, I have a burning church.
Wow.
So... Are you particularly pissed off at the church? Are you into Satanism or anything? Or just
No, yeah, nothing like that. I think it's just I kind
of tend I think to, it's a hell of a tattoo. I love it. Can I interest you in something? Like, I have a good idea here.
So who is complaining?
JMO, what were you saying?
I think I just grew up enjoying shock value humor.
Okay.
And I think might have taken it a little too far with those two.
Did a woman ever respond to that negatively?
I've actually only had positive responses to it.
Really?
That's kind of a shock thing that people tend to just be okay with it.
Huh. All right. Now, are they visible? They're on your legs. They're on your ankles, right?
One's on my ankle. One's on my inner right bicep.
Inner right bicep. Okay. Which one is on your bicep?
That would be the Burning Church.
The Burning Church. All right. So you people will see this. You don't whip it out on them after you've known them for a while or date somebody for a bit and go, hey, by the way, look at this.
No, I mean, they'll see it periodically. I mean, I keep it covered at work. But...
Yeah.
Right.
Right. But you've never gone on a date or anything like that. And then they find out about that and all of a sudden it's over.
No, actually, okay. More recently, most times I go out on a date, I'll show it to somebody, and they'll tend to be really into it.
Okay, interesting. All right. Yeah. Thanks, JMO.
Hey, what's the current rule for Philadelphia police and tattoos? Are you allowed to have them exposed?
I think they're allowed now.
Yes, okay. They are.
Because remember that guy, he had a German tattoo on his arm, and it was like a big uproar about it. But
okay.
They used to have to wear long sleeves. I don't think they have to anymore.
Not above. What about above the collar, though, that they can have, correct?
Yeah, I doubt they're not.
I would imagine there's a rule for maybe hands and face.
And those rules
have
changed.
You're allowed one Power Ranger.
Well, I know the rules have changed, and they also depend from department to department, too. So it's not like... I don't know what the current rule for Philly cops was.
I think all bets are off at the tattoo department.
One last call. We're going to go to a victim of ours. This is Sandy. Hi, Sandy. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, tell everybody about your tattoo and how you got
Sandy.
It and what it is.
So I played the Wheel of Tattoos and I got...
The Wheel of Tattoos. This was at Keenan's Irish Pub in North Wildwood?
Yep.
Okay, this is where we would bring out a wheel, and if you were, I guess if you got an incorrect answer, I forgot how we qualified people, but you had to go up and spin the wheel, and whatever it landed on, that was a tattoo you had to get right there on
exactly.
the spot. All right, and what did you have to get?
I had to get the word, keep effing that chicken.
Keep effing that chicken.
And you
and the F word, the F word is spelled out, right?
It is.
Oh, my God.
Where is it?
Where?
It is on my lower back. right underneath my ex-husband's name.
Right under your ex-husband's name. Well, maybe that works out then.
You need a big cover-up.
It does now. It does now.
Okay, so and how many inches across is it, would you say?
Oh, it's not that big.
Okay.
It's he did a good job. He made it nice and small. But it's definitely, I think people, I don't know, it's only on the beach that people really see it unless I show them.
Yeah.
But I think they probably think I'm
kind of
weird.
Are you cool? Obviously, you're cool with that. You wouldn't have played a game called the Wheel of Tattoos were you not into...
The most fun ever.
There you go. I mean, see?
Okay.
We need to bring that back.
But are you married, by the way?
I'm now engaged.
You're engaged. Okay, good. All right. At least it hasn't destroyed your romantic life.
It took a long time to find a guy named Chicken.
Yeah. Hey, Chicky. All right, Sandy, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, see you later. No, we can't do that in New Jersey anyway. I know we can't do that.
Yeah, what we need to do then is drive them back across the state lines.
Before the show's over?
Yeah.
Take them out of the ocean.
Anyhow, all right, interesting. So, you know, cautionary tale. Think about that tattoo before you get it done. And think about what other people might think about it down the road a little ways. Always smart to do that.
How far is international water?
Oh, I don't know.
3 miles.
Okay, so we
use Bernie Perrant's boat.
There we go. Take them out, do tattoos.
And we'll do tattoos.
We could have a functioning brothel.
We could, easily.
Yeah.
Gamble.
Bernie will love it.
Commit murder if we want.
We got to take a break because we got to get to MMR's birthday buck, so I want to do that now. But thank you for your phone calls. We appreciate it. We'll come back in a second. Your chance to win $1,000.
WMMR and A&T Chevy present MMR's birthday bucks.
I just won $1,000 from WMMR.
How about that? I just called to congratulate you on winning $1,000.
Thank you very much. I'll take it.
This is your shot to win $1,000 cash. 5 times a day at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m. You'll hear that hour's keyword and simply text it to the special contest text number 40772. One random texter wins $1,000. MMR's Birthday Bucks, sponsored by A&T Chevy in Sellersville, the Chevy dealer you can trust. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
Going up to 78 degrees and sunny today. Just picture perfect. Next couple days, a little bit on the warm side. 85 tomorrow, 89 on Thursday, maybe even a little humid. Same thing on Friday. But then Saturday. We're looking at about 77, 78 degrees and partly cloudy skies. It's going to be beautiful. You have the day off, and this is the perfect opportunity to join me for the Laurel House Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event that I host. Steve Morrison, my partner in crime, will be there as well. We'll be wearing sexy shoes, and we'll be walking a mile to raise some money for Laurel House, which is a wonderful organization. It's an international men's march against rape, sexual assault, and gender violence. And it's a fun way for men to raise awareness in the community about this very serious issue, domestic violence. But we have a really good time.
It is a good time, and there's a good vibe to it. Listen, the message is obviously you want to raise awareness for this thing that you're very passionate about, Preston, and rightfully so. But the vibe has always been up and positive and inspiring. So it's a great way to spend a Saturday morning.
And I want to tell you now, the participation is lower than we had hoped for. So it goes up and down for years. This one's down a little bit. So we need your help. And it's going to be on Saturday. It's a beautiful day. It's in the morning. It's a pretty quick event. The check-in is at 9 a.m. The opening ceremony is 10 a.m. And we walk a mile and we have some refreshments and then you can go on about your day. And it's a great way to start the day to bring the kids out and everything, teach them a really cool lesson as well. A lot of fire companies come out and they have their trucks on display and the kids can check that stuff out. So we would love for you to sign up for Team WMMR. I'm going to have Marissa post something on social media about that, if you don't mind, Marissa. And that'll be on our accounts, and I'll post it as well. But it's this Saturday, and you can get registered. You don't need to bring your own shoes. They can supply shoes for you, from what I understand. Hopefully, we can still have that taken care of. And it's going to be in Collegeville, at the Pfizer Collegeville campus. So this weekend, make sure that you join us if you can.
What's the pavement like there? Do we have any idea?
I don't know, man.
It's like a bike path.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it's like, is it like sacrete or gravel?
It's different than the one that than in years past. So it's not as gravelly.
Good.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Girls, how do you do it?
Ladies, how do you do it?
I don't know how you walk in those heels. It's unbelievable.
I'm bleeding like a pig.
And if you have bad terrain, it's really tough to walk
in. Well, year one was...
Oh, my God.
By leaps and bounds, the worst.
Yeah, we walked on gravel.
Gravel up a hill.
On high hills.
Yeah. Up a hill.
Yeah. Stilettos.
Stiletto heels.
Yeah, so let's hope that we're good to go. All right, anyhow, we got to do the bizarre file. Here we go.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by another great charity event, the LLS Big Climb Philly. And Nick and Team Luke are doing this on May 19th, and you can join them during the LLS Big Climb Philly. Climb 46 floors to the top of the SMC Tower. No, it's the FMC Tower to support the fight against blood cancer. You can visit bigclimbphilly.org/Team Luke. We'll start with this story. It happened on April 18th, and a friend of mine was the investigating officer on this particular.
Oh, boy.
It's local. It's in West Norton. Police were called to the area of Egypt Road and Heston Avenue for a report of a woman being chased in the street by two other women. When police arrived, one of the women giving chase stopped to explain that she and the other pursuer were home care providers assigned for the woman that they were chasing. Now, police were informed that the running woman is diagnosed with mechanophilia, which is a sexual attraction to vehicles and machinery.
Oh, wow. So she's one of these people that has sex with cars.
Yes.
Okay.
According to the police report, the woman's caretakers are not allowed to physically restrain her, so she frequently breaks away in pursuit of vehicles that she is attracted to.
Cars she finds sexy.
Before she was returned to her residence, police said she hugged and kissed a Nissan Pathfinder before being informed that she was causing a disturbance.
Ooh, Asian.
And needed to go inside. So that happened in West Norton. I love this story, man. A winner of the prestigious Wildlife Photographer of the Year photo contest has been stripped of his award after it was discovered that the anteater seen in the photo is a stuffed animal that was photoshopped in.
No. That son of a bitch.
Dude, the Wildlife Photographer of the Year.
A stuffed anteater, the oldest trick in the book.
This is a worldwide competition. Oh, my God. So a Brazilian photographer, Marcio Cabral, had won the Animals in Their Environment category for the 2017 contest with his photo titled The Night Raider. The photo appeared to show an anteater and a termite mound, and the caption stated, "For three seasons, Marcio had camped out in Brazil's Cerrado region on the vast treeless savanna of Emas National Park, waiting to capture the termite mound's light display. Click beetle larvae living in the outer layers of the mounds flash their bioluminescent headlights to lure in prey, the flying termites. Out of the darkness ambled a giant anteater, oblivious to Marcio in his hide, and began to attack the tall concrete mud mound with its powerful claws to reach the termites deep inside."
And it's all bull.
And it's all a bunch of crap.
And you can see right in the back there's a Wawa sign.
But after the award was announced, someone apparently noticed something strange. The anteater in the photo looked remarkably similar to a stuffed anteater found at one of the entrances to the same national park. The National History Museum, which owns and operates the prestigious contest, then enlisted the help of five expert scientists to investigate.
So he bought it at the exact park he took the picture in?
I don't know if he bought it, but he used it, yeah.
Lazy bastard.
The team comprised two mammal experts and a taxidermy specialist, as well as two external experts. After comparing the anteater in the winning photo with the stuffed one on the park, all five scientists independently concluded that the two were exactly the same anteater.
Wow.
They all reached the same conclusion that there are elements in overall posture, morphology, the position of raised tufts and fur, and in the patterning on the neck and the top of the head that are too similar for the images to depict two different animals.
Huh.
The museum.
What about the price tag, too?
The museum also asked Cabral to supply raw files, and the photographer provided photos shot before and after the anteater photo, but none of the other photos containing the anteater. So you just had the one picture of the anteater that sent in. So they stole it from him.
And wow. It had a stamp mid-belly that said Boner Garage with an arrow pointing at it.
But he hasn't fessed up?
No, apparently he hasn't fessed
well,
up.
Well, do they specifically say that wildlife doesn't constitute stuffed animals?
Maybe that's not
okay.
in the...
It's a gray area.
It might not be in the fine print. I don't know. This is a harrowing story, man. One man is being deemed a hero for saving a young boy's life while vacationing back in March. He's from Luzerne County. A guy named Sean Skursky was on a normal vacation with he and his family, and it took a crazy turn. He is now being called a hero. Skursky was poolside vacation at a Vista Resort in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina with his family when a nightmare became reality. He said, I was in the hot tub and I hear a lady screaming for help. I grabbed my son, I ran over to see what the problem was and saw there were two young boys in the water and I jumped in to start helping. They were in the lazy river that coasts along, if you've ever been to a water park. And the video surveillance video shows two boys were playing in the river when one of them got his leg stuck in a grate. Trapped, the boy was unable to come up for air. He said, I just dove under the water and I started breathing into his mouth. Every time I came up, I took another breath. And when I went down, I blew my oxygen into his mouth. And on the way up, I tried to pull him out, and it just wasn't working. Emergency responders estimate the boy was underwater for around 8 minutes.
Wow.
Eight minutes.
That's
amazing. That is an eternity for being underwater without being able to breathe. They said if it wasn't for Skursky giving him air, it would have been tragic.
Wow.
He works as a corrections officer at a state prison and says his experience there helped him act quickly. He said, I had no time to think at all. I saw two boys in the water. I heard someone screaming for help, and I just jumped in the pool. I guess it's part of our DNA as first responders and corrections officers. It's what we do. You get the job done, and you think about it later on.
It's just miraculous. God. And this guy instantly jumps into action.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would have known to start blowing air. But he hopes to someday again see the boy whose life he saved. That boy who lives in Michigan is okay. Earlier this month, the Myrtle Beach Department of Public Safety flew Skursky back down to South Carolina and gave him a life-saving award for his heroics. Isn't that wild?
I always consult Kathy's emergency response pamphlet that says, make sure you have no appearances that evening.
Step one.
I had another one recently. Oh, God.
For those who don't know, Steve passed out in the studio one day, and Casey jumped into action, elevated his legs, made sure that he could, you know, try to get his attention, see if he had his wits about him. Kathy ran down the hall to see if she had an appearance that weekend, check with our promotions department. Was your other one?
I didn't actually check to see if I had an appearance. I did run down and just was like, Steve needs help.
I'm going home.
No, I think it was when Jace knocked out his two front teeth. Like, I just froze.
And
his blood was, like, dripping down. Get napkins. Sometimes, I'm like, oh, right.
You don't know what the hell to do.
The carpet.
Yeah.
Do you rent steam cleaners?
Yeah, she calls Stanley. Get the OxyClean!
Do you rent steam cleaners? Thank you.
My brother spilled red wine on a carpet in my house on Sunday.
Did you?
I was just like, I stood there and looked at him, and I could see he was like panicking. He was like, can you get some nap? I spilled a little bit of wine. I went upstairs. I was like, a little? And he was like, yeah, well, I just put like white wine on it. I think white wine takes out red wine if it's carpet.
What? White wine counters red wine?
What? Yeah. No, yeah.
I've never heard that before. Is that true?
Yeah. I put white wine on it. So somebody told me to do this as well, and this really worked. But you actually put salt on it, and you don't like scrub it, but you kind of start from the outside of the stain, and you go in, and it just lifts up. Like the salt soaks up the coloring and the
wine.
And
it works?
That got it out mostly. I could still see little dots, and then I just sprayed Shout on it, and it's completely gone.
Here's a link they pulled up. It says, gently dab the stain to remove the excess liquid. Baking soda can be used as a product for helping to remove red wine stains. Consider applying a baking soda paste to the affected area. After applying the salt, baking soda, or white wine, you should see a difference.
And then Shout.
Never.
Yeah, man.
Never heard that. Shout the cleaner.
Yeah. You know you make me wanna
shout.
Yeah.
But even though my brother spilled it, I felt bad because I could see. He was like, oh, my God, she's going to kill me.
Yep.
It's just funny. A coworker passes out and you panic, but there's a stain on the carpet. You spring into action.
I got it.
Do you have carpet steamers?
You ever see, you remember the original Creepshow, Preston?
Yeah.
The movie where the guy, I think it was Eli Wallach, had the totally clean, hermetically
sealed
germaphobe.
Yeah.
That's Kathy.
He hated roaches.
Yeah.
All right, so we need to take a quick break. Come back in a moment. We are going to have a Not Your Average listener in this morning. We'll meet them around 9 o'clock or so. And our friends from the Spirit of Philadelphia are here. Because Marissa Magnata has an appearance coming up Sunday Funday. And you can find it on the water. Food, games, skyline views, beer garden vibes. You get it all aboard the Spirit of Philadelphia. You can book your Sunday Funday cruise at spiritofphiladelphia.com. Marissa's going to be doing all kinds of appearances throughout the summer, I believe. And she will be there on May 20th for this event. So we got some giveaways in conjunction with this. I have a pair of tickets that I can give away for that 20th appearance with Marissa. We'll take caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR and get you on board. And they brought some great food here today. So we appreciate that.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
I'm not going to go into this as a topic right now, but we should do it another time. We were talking about when you've passed out, Steve. Somebody texted and said, you know, because Kathy ran out of the studio. And they said a friend of mine was having a coughing fit and passed out. A coworker who was sitting at his desk with a desk phone and a cell phone jumped up and screamed, "Oh, my God, I have to find a phone," and then ran away.
With a phone. Two phones right there. It's the way people react.
You just panic.
Doesn't, yeah. And so that person probably had the same thing I had, which was you kind of give yourself a sleeper hold because you're having a coughing fit.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we might circle back to that sometime. But I have something else. I wanted to tell you a quick story.
Yes.
About a friend of ours who works in this building. You hear us mention from time to time the restaurant Manja, which is downstairs. They bring us the world-famous breakfast pizza.
Absolutely.
And Damon Forte is the owner and operator of that. Now, Damon and I have gone out and played golf on a few occasions. He's a great guy. Really cool. And Casey goes, "Dude, Damon's got a story to tell you." So I went down yesterday. He also gave me something, which was really cool.
Oh, nice.
So Damon has had the pleasure, and we have the rare privilege, even though most of us, the majority of us, will never, ever get a chance to experience. We have the greatest golf course in the world, considered by many publications and golfers throughout that sport to be the greatest golf course in the world. And it's called Pine Valley.
I play on it all the time.
I know you do.
Yeah.
It's in New Jersey. It's right near Clementon Park. But anyhow.
You have to be invited, right?
You have to be. Yeah. You have to be a member or invited. And I've had three almost wet dreams where I had a chance to play and it got.
Weather or something just screwed up?
It was like either an empty promise or it just didn't come together or somebody died or I don't know, whatever. something just, you know, it's like Final Destination. You know, it was supposed to happen and it didn't. But anyhow, so I have not had the opportunity. Damon was invited to go play. And it was through his brother's friend of a friend type of thing.
So right.
He got to go and play with the group, and they were going to be there for the whole weekend as well, which is cool. It's good. They have cabins on the property.
Is that right?
Yeah. And so
multiple golfing.
He got the full deal, man. Right. He got the full experience. He got to play, you know, the short course the day before, that night, stay there, go have dinner at this wonderful, super duper exclusive club, and then the next day play Pine Valley, the legendary golf course. So Damon's telling me the story. He gets up on the first tee, he's really nervous, hits his first drive, and he hooks it. And Damon and I are about the same level of player. And, you know, every now and then gets a great round. And for the most part, you know, we shoot about the same. But anyhow, so he gets up to the third hole, the third tee box. It's a par three. It's about 155 yards. He said he was telling me he used a pitching wedge, which is that's hitting it a ton.
Wow.
It's a downhill par three, though. So maybe compensated for the those are terrible.
They effects. Suck. I have the cup one is good. Yeah, yeah.
You need to get the real golf effects. But anyhow. He gets up, he hits it, and the ball, so the greens are very, very, very fast here. They're some of the best in the country. And he's looking at it, it's moving. They start walking. You have caddies there. They start walking towards the hole. He got a hole in one.
Oh.
At Pine Valley.
Oh, my God.
On the first tee?
No.
Third hole. Par three. God. First par three. He got a hole in one. He hugged me three times yesterday.
Wow.
Telling me the story. I was so excited and happy for him.
That's amazing.
This is he got a hole in one at the greatest golf course in the world.
Well, now, do you get anything? Do you get a plaque? Do you get anything
like
that?
Well, what I didn't know is at Pine Valley, their tradition is they give you the flag off of the stick of the hole that you got the hole in one.
That's amazing.
So he's got a Pine Valley flag, and they dated it and put his name on there. He obviously has the golf ball. And, you know, clearly he's going to mount that in some type of a
sexually
mount. No, he's not going to mount. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to rub it
out. That's awesome.
I was so happy for him.
So for even if you can't, if you're not a golf enthusiast, this is as good as it can possibly get, right?
I tried to think of an equivalent to that, and I couldn't really come up with anything because golf is one of those sports that anybody can play. I mean, if you are invited. I mean, you don't have to be a great player, but you could be invited to the ultimate golf course like this or a handful of others like Augusta and some of the hallowed halls of golf. And you could hit a hole in one. You couldn't, however, do something like in competition.
How about Gal Gadot orgasming in 10 seconds?
Okay.
Yeah.
That could, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe that would be.
Guess what I just did.
Yeah, exactly. But I couldn't think of any equivalent.
In the sports equivalent that would because it's such a personal
it's a
thing. It's not, you know.
Yeah, it's a solo sport.
Yeah.
It's a one person deal and you know, maybe I don't know, bowling a 300, but a lot of people do that, you know. Yeah. But to get a hole in one at this particular golf course.
How about bowling a 300 on your first roll?
Okay, just one
it
ball.
Would be amazing. It's never been done.
It actually skips down lane to lane.
Right? You bowl a 300 in one roll.
Hey, yeah, do you know how the rest of his round went?
You know what? I was so excited. I didn't ask him what he scored. I'm going to guess it wasn't that great because he probably would have gone, and I shot a 75, you know, or something like that.
How many hole-in-ones have you shot in your
life? I've never had a hole-in-one.
But your daughter has how many?
12.
Shut up.
12 at Pine Valley.
Listen, I told my daughter, I think she may be one of the only people in the world, one of the few in the world, that on the first swing of the first round of golf ever played, she got a hole in one.
Jeez.
First swing, first time ever playing, boom, it went in the hole. Now it was at Waltz's, which is a little par three course, but
Waltz's it's the Pine Valley of Pennsylvania.
Yes, it is. Par threes.
They gave her a hoagie.
It was, I was so happy for him. I was so stoked. He bought me a hoodie in the pro shop.
Oh, that's great.
So I've got a Pine Valley hoodie, so at least I got that. I can pretend like I played there.
So. But, I mean, he couldn't be a nicer guy. That's so cool.
He's the best.
So cool.
And I'm so happy.
He got it.
I'm so happy for him. So congratulations to our buddy Damon Forte, hole in one at Pine Valley.
Do you know what the flag says?
No.
Congratulations, Kenny.
You got the name wrong.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Would you rather play Pine Valley or Augusta?
Ooh.
Probably Augusta.
Okay.
Not to take anything away from Pine Valley and how wonderfully exclusive that is, but you never see Pine Valley. They don't do events there.
It's not even there.
They don't do tournaments and stuff like that. But all of the greatest players in the world have played Augusta.
Right.
And it's so beautiful and well known that I think that it's just a notch up on that I would jump at that.
So is Pine Valley just like a tick down from Augusta?
Oh, no. It's considered the best, but he's just asking me personally.
Okay, because it has more legend associated with it.
I think so.
Yeah, this is more. Okay, I got you.
What's great about what you look for in a special golf course, and I was trying to think of how to describe it, is it has to be, it can't just be just a really hard golf course to play. Because you can do that with anything. You can make it just very, very hard and very, very frustrating. It has to be elegantly difficult. It has to be manicured and
pedicured,
babied and taken care of to the nth degree, and it has to have an aesthetic beauty to it, and it has to have a legend to it and an exclusivity to make it a desired place to play, and that's exactly what we have here.
Do they not have tournaments there because it is so exclusive and they don't want people traipsing around on it?
Yeah, basically. They want to keep it what it is for just, you know, just an exclusive little thing for only a certain amount of people.
Because, I mean, listen, you know, when you talk about how
privileged,
elegantly maintained that whole course is, when you have a few thousand people traipsing all over the place, it kind of does something to the course.
Yeah.
I found something. I was at a golf outing yesterday for my church. St. Pius had their outing at Paxton Hollow Country Club. And they do at the end of everything, they do a golf ball drop, and all the golf balls are numbered. And
from a helicopter?
Yeah, from a helicopter.
Very nice.
And whatever, you know, if a ball goes into the hole, if that's your number, you win the prize. And our buddy Pat House actually works there, and he told me that a couple of years ago, the helicopter accidentally
crashed.
And, well, no, they drop it onto the fairway, okay? And they put a hole in the fairway, and they drop it there. Well, accidentally mistook the 10th green for the hole that they were supposed to drop it on and dropped 1,000 golf balls on this green.
On the wrong spot?
On the green instead of the fairway and chunked up the entire
I was going to say, golf balls from that height yes. would do a little bit of damage, especially if you're dropping how many?
Probably somewhere in the neighborhood like 600-700 golf balls.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Too funny. Wow.
That's right. That's really good news. I mean, yeah, just knowing him, you need to know how nice this guy is and how what a cool thing it is.
Couldn't happen to a better guy, man.
So, with any luck, Preston, you'll keep missing out on your opportunity to play.
Yeah, somebody, go ahead. In fact, let's go to a promise right now. Yeah. I'm going to go to Moses. Hey, Moses, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
What's up, bitches?
Hey. You. All right, what you want, my man?
So a buddy of mine is the hedge greenkeeper at Pine Valley, and I've had several invitations, and I've never taken him up on his offer. But if you want to play golf there, I think I can set that up for you.
Yeah, of course.
Cut absolutely. To the morning of the event. Oh, yeah. Preston looking at his phone. It's not happening.
Yeah, sorry, man. They bailed.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, email me, Moses. I appreciate it.
I will. My wife emails Nick every once in a while. She actually cuts the hair of a lot of the greenskeepers.
Okay.
And, that's code. And the guys that go there. And they do have one tournament there every year at the end of September. It's called the Crump Cup. And it's the guy that designed the club.
What is it called?
A special day. The Crump.
The crump. Yes, yeah. Yes. And what they will do is they will allow the day before people to go out and walk the golf course and take a look at it.
Yes, they do.
So they do allow that. And it's I think it's a collegiate event, isn't it, Moses?
It is. Yeah. Amateurs.
Yeah, but they don't televise it. None of that stuff. No. All right. Shoot me an email, Preston@WMMR.com. All right, buddy?
I will. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. See ya. Appreciate it. Now, that won't happen because they won't. Anyway, never mind.
Well, and Mr. Crump will show up and say, we don't want any radio people selling the reputation of the squirrels, right? This is a hallowed area.
My brother's buddy lives in Fort Myers, and he's played there a few times.
That's cool.
I know.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not him playing.
All right. Well, anyhow, congratulations to Damon. That's all I
wanted
to do.
Yes, yes. It's good news.
I wanted to say congrats to him because that's a life accomplishment right there that he snagged. You doing that voice made me think of this one thing, Steve. You know, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge.
Yes.
Finally revealed that their newborn prince is named Louis Arthur Charles.
Yes.
But there is one thing that reporters from the UK are clear about. Is the name is not pronounced Louis.
Uh-huh.
Is it Louis?
It's Louis.
Really?
Louis? That is how you pronounce it. Louis. As in Louis Vuitton.
As in we gotta go now?
And Louis. Mm-hmm. And Louis Armstrong.
Wow.
So because it is a French origin.
Okay.
Louis means famous in battle or famous warrior. And it originates in France or Germany. So Louis is the pronunciation.
See the queen doing the blue, like in Bluto and the Animals.
But Louis always seems...
We got to go now!
Louis in the U.S. is the more
regal,
proper,
yes.
Regal way to say the name.
It's funny how it switches because, well, yeah, Louis would be, hey, buddy, hey, Louis.
Louis.
Hey, Louis.
Yeah, and in fact, in Trading Places.
Yeah.
Remember the higher-ups call... Louis. Louis. And then when he hooks up with, the regular crowd, they call him Louis.
Louis.
Yeah.
What about you? You're from St. Louis. You guys call it Louis?
I hate St. Louis. Yeah. I can't stand it when people call it St. Louis. No, it's St. Louis. And but, I mean, as a joke, you might say it as a resident, but it's like Philly.
Yeah.
When I first moved here, I was told that Philly, it was a less than desirable way to refer to the city. What I found out was it's they had done a poll, and people don't appreciate it when people who are not from here call it Philly. It's like Frisco.
People
in San Francisco can't stand it when you call it Frisco.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say.
Okay, they do, but they like Francisco.
No.
Francisco, that's fun to say.
It's fun to say.
Yeah.
But no.
They also hate when you call it Rice-a-Rooney.
Rice-a-Rooney.
All right, I don't care if people call it Philly.
I don't either.
I don't, yeah. But I think a lot of times people think we do, but we do not. I don't care. That's fine.
And in fact, when people ask me where I'm from, I usually say Philly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But how do you feel about people who have never lived here calling it Philly? Does that bother you?
Not even a little bit.
No. Doesn't bother me.
Round them up and put them into camps, but otherwise, no.
I know that people from Nevada, the state of Nevada. They hate it when you call it Nevada. It's Nevada.
Yeah.
That's how the locals pronounce it, Nevada.
I can't get my brain to do that. I don't know why.
It sounds like you're affecting Nevada. An accent. Nevada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about Louisville versus Louisville?
You're close. Louisville.
So you should sound like you're puking.
Louisville. The Ville is pronounced Vull.
Louisville.
So my family's from Kentucky, so I grew up with it, Louisville, not Louisville.
What about the town, Lancaster?
What is that?
I was schooled.
Lancaster.
I was schooled on that when I first moved here. Somebody goes, I know you're from out of town. And they said, why? Because you said Lancaster.
Lancaster.
Right. And it's Lancaster.
Lancaster. It's also Swarthmore, not Swarthmore in this area. My buddy, and it gets on my nerves because he went there one time and now he calls it Nolens. And I'm a shut up, dude. It's New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Knock it off.
Aaron Neville.
Although I can't stand, and you and Kathy say it is New Orleans.
Yeah, I always say that.
But it's what you say, whatever.
Yeah. It's what I was commissioned to say.
But it's New Orleans. Now, my friend Sandy growing up, her mom and dad were from New
Australia.
Orleans, and they called it, Casey, they called it flat out Nolens.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Where are they from?
From New Orleans.
Okay. Yeah, the locals will, that's it.
Nolens.
That's the way they say it. Yeah.
That's exactly how they say it. I mess up something around here all the time.
Newark and Newark?
No, I've gotten that correct.
Okay.
I've been schooled on that.
You call Bryn Mawr, Kentucky.
Wait, it's in Jersey, right?
Yes, it is.
Ooh. Belmont?
Mount Ephraim. Is it Mount Ephraim?
Nope.
Woodcrest Station?
Nope. It is, oh, man.
Comden?
Gloucester?
Gloucester.
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 Gloucester. I say Gloucester a lot. You guys give me a hard time about it.
Right.
But it's Gloucester.
There are people who wait to just leap on you for. It's like, relax.
Here's one I never got right is Emmaus.
You said it right.
I know.
Okay.
But I would always say Emmaus.
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 All right. How about this?
Emmaus.
All right. So some people say Swarthmore when it is Swarthmore. But people say Washington.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no R to...
My mother-in-law says Washington or wash the clothes.
Yeah, wash.
And that whole thing. Yeah, okay. Washing machine, all that stuff.
But there is an R in Swarthmore.
Yeah.
But you just don't say it.
You don't.
You say Swarthmore. Okay.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is. Do we know throughout history whether that R was ever pronounced?
Swarthmore.
During the great R purge of 1781?
Maybe that was it, Steve. I'm not really sure. It's a borough in Delaware County, Pennsylvania.
Must be nice. Probably pulls wagons and stuff.
It was originally named Westdale in honor of noted painter Benjamin West, who was one of the early residents of the town.
Wait a second.
Someone might want to remember this for Delco versus Bucks.
I think there's a street called Benj West in Swarthmore.
Called Benj West?
Yeah.
B-E-N-J West?
Yeah.
Okay. It's directly across from Benj East.
Yep. So that would be after him then, Casey.
Yeah, and actually, in Swarthmore, the borough of Swarthmore, most of the streets are named after colleges.
Mm-hmm. I've heard people be nitpicky about a town that I'm right nearby, which is Skipack. Some people call it
Skipick.
Skipack. Like emphasis on pack.
Yeah, I think I do that. Skipack.
I do
skip back. Right.
That's
skip back, Jack.
It's spelled skip pack, but I say skip back. With more like a B sound. Huh. In it. Some people get in a tizzy about that. Is it
tizzy or tizzy?
Oh, Kathy says there's one that she hits is a decal pike.
Decal.
What do you say? Decal. Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah. Decal pike. So anyway, people can be a bit nitpicky about it. But the baby, the royal baby is Louis Arthur Child.
No, Louis.
You just screwed it up.
All this time. Louis.
Oh, man, I love you.
It's Louis.
Prince Louis.
Arthur Charles. And in fact, his entire royal title is...
Pack.
His Highness Prince Louis Arthur Charles of Cambridge.
God almighty, for a little baby to have that title.
Fifth in line to the throne. Mm-hmm.
An interesting thing. Well, you know what? I'm not going to go to the interesting
thing. Don't do it now.
I need to do this because this is a bit of sad news, but I'd kind of always wondered about going to this event. It will still continue, but the founder of Burning Man passed away over the weekend. A guy named Larry Harvey died.
He was up there, right?
He died of a massive stroke. He was 70.
Yeah.
He wasn't way up there.
He was not up there then. That's fairly young.
Yeah. He had a massive stroke. And you ever talk to anybody who's been to that event?
Yes.
Actually, I think our next guests have.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk to them.
Okay. This guy, Harvey, started it on a San Francisco beach in 1986 and eventually became the notorious annual event at the Black Rock Desert of Nevada.
You remember last year, or the most recent one, a guy died running into the fire, right?
Oh, dude.
Was that last year or was that a couple of years back? No, but I do remember that. The dude ran into it. That's insane.
Yeah, ran into the fire and that was it. Turns out that stuff burns.
I tell you what, man, when we, years and years and years ago, it was a stupid idea of mine. At the Cardboard Classic, that I thought we would do a Viking funeral.
Yes.
For all of the cardboard slabs.
Right. I think it was a good idea in theory.
And set them on fire. In theory.
In theory.
It sounded like a great idea. And so we set them on fire.
Oh, my God.
And the heat coming off of us
was unbearable.
It was unbearable.
We were standing a good distance away, and the snow was melting into a mushy
like a
river
of water.
Burning cardboard, and it was like hell on earth.
And they were trying to get a picture of us, and I'm wearing that really thick parka, and it was like my skin was on fire. I'm like, we gotta go. If you don't get a picture, I
don't
care.
This freaking thing's in the desert, where it's hot to begin with.
Yeah, exactly, and it's huge, obviously.
In Nevada.
Yeah. Did you guys, I'm sorry.
What were you going
to
say?
No, it had something to do with, not Burning Man, but Coachella. There was a funny video of a guy just kind of like panning through the concert grounds of Coachella, and all the people on their phones. It was just, it was hilarious. You know, like cool girls like posing for pictures with weird, you know, gang signs or whatever. And it was just, you know, just a steady, the dude was just walking with his camera through Coachella. And then that's what it's become. And that's kind of what Burning Man has become.
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of a blowback because it started off as this kind of hippie trippy
counterculture.
It was for
accountants.
Not for accountants. So meditation and art and things
beads,
like that. And now
patchouli.
It eventually turned into a moneymaker.
Yes.
And people kind of thought it was not such a great idea for him. But he remained heavily involved in Burning Man. There's tens of thousands of people that go out of this every year. He's responsible for the creation and the theme and naming the streets in Black Rock City. So he's allowed to do that every year, I understand.
Not anymore.
He contributed to the design of the event's central effigy, which is burned on the penultimate night of the weekend-long event.
How tall does that thing get? It's multiple stories, yes?
That is a good question.
It's like six stories, seven stories?
At least. It's big. So the event draws out those seeking meditation, art, or those wearing neon and listening to pumping music. And it's all centered around 10 principles that Harvey created.
And they are?
I only have a couple of them here. It says
the top three.
He wrote down the event's principles in a cafe in Mexico in 2004. The principles are purpose to encourage burners to have a more fulfilling experience of the event. They include radical self-reliance, inclusion, and self-expression.
Mm-hmm. And they can chase you off the grounds if you're not doing that.
I don't have the other ones. I just have those.
Your inclusion is not what I would call radical.
Yep. In recent years, critics have lambasted Harvey for making the event into a money-making scheme and also for making the event into a massive organized event.
Money-making scheme. To keep the thing going, someone has to pay the bills.
Yeah.
So he's the schmuck for trying to keep it running by making it, you know, make money so they can keep it going.
But others consider the long-winded, philosophy-loving leader somewhat of a guru, if you will. So I assume...
You're going this year, right?
I was wondering... And this is pretty morbid. Shouldn't they burn him there?
It would be nice to put him on a funeral pyre.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
or blow him up with hand grenades. Wouldn't that be cool?
He will be missed.
I mean, if he wants to.
Yeah, just put a belt of hand grenades around him, pull all the pins, and That'd be like the whale on the beach.
Yeah. Oh, here, Nick found the ten principles of Burning Man.
All right, please.
Radical inclusion.
Gifting.
Decommodification. Radical self-reliance. Radical self-expression. Communal efforts.
Tofu cheese.
I just threw that in there.
So I would repeat that.
Civic responsibility. Leaving no trace. That means cleaning up,
which they don't.
They don't?
No, it's always a pigsty.
Participation. And immediacy. Yep.
Sounds like a bunch of crap.
Well, he's saying basically everybody should be welcome and people should give each other gifts and everybody should take care of themselves and clean up and stuff like that.
What the issue started to be is that it started to become a thing like a VIP section.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was an issue.
Yeah.
They thought that was really running contrary to the whole idea of Burning Man.
Especially the principles.
Right. Yeah. And the helipad was nothing that they were proud of either.
No. Right. But maybe they'll blow them up with grenades.
I think so. I mean, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah. I mean, it's
family gathered around and let the widow pull the pin.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So anyhow, but I thought that was, this guy started this little thing. He probably just did his fun and it turned into a huge event over the years.
Sometimes they take.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. All right, we should take a break. And here's an event that you want to be a part of. And it is Marissa Magnata, the Spirit of Philadelphia, and Sunday Fun Days.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to start it off on the 20th. She'll be having a bit of a party. And I got tickets for callers number 10 and 11 at 215-263-WMMR. You can enjoy great views of the Delaware River from the Spirit of Philadelphia's new outdoor bar, which is coming this year.
Really awesome.
To get the details and the tickets, you want to go to spiritofphiladelphia.com. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Not your average listener. We're going to ask you to do a little bit of work this morning and see if we can give away a prize to some friends here in the studio, but it'll be up to you.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24 karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Two things before we get to our next guest. We have a new Daily Rush video that's up. Actually, it came out a couple days ago, and I forgot to mention it. But it is entitled Antonio Banderas' new movie called Chusnash. Foreign movies are very sexual. It says here, Chusnash. So watch it now, PresidentSteve.com. And it's sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. And I want to do one more giveaway for now with Spirit of Philadelphia, who's this morning. What we call a meet and eat. They brought some goodies for us. They brought their honey and sesame chicken, and they brought some kale salad and the cream corn and cheddar cheese casserole that Nick thought was eggs.
These eggs are excellent.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Nick, that's corn.
Well, that's the best kind of egg.
Yeah.
I thought they were very fluffy.
And you can cap off your weekend with
scrambled corn.
Marissa Magnata on May 20th for a Sunday fun day lunch cruise on the Spirit of Philadelphia. Caller number 18, we will give you some tickets. And it's all ages, by the way.
Yeah, so it's a lot of times, awesome.
Sometimes they'll do these cruises like when Jackie does like Yardsbury, something like that are over 21. You can bring the kids. It's a school event. 215-263-WMMR. We're going to set you up with that right now. So go ahead and give us a call. Do we have our special intro?
Nah.
Let's wait. Hey.
I mean, I have no idea. There's been so many iterations of this one. We currently don't have a sponsor. So this one from when we didn't have sponsors.
This is a generic one. You're not happy generic. With it. There's some wrongs to be righted. We'll take care of it. But for now, we need to play this.
You just don't remember.
I don't remember which theme this is.
Okay, well, let's try it out. Here we go. Okay.
No one's exactly like me. I'm the only one like myself. Suddenly, I'm on Preston and Steve. I am like nobody else. The Not Your Average Listener segment is looking for sponsors to help us with giving away $250 to me. Vote yes to 3933.
Oh. I like that one.
He wanted me to boo him, so I booed him.
And we do need sponsors.
We do need sponsors.
It's just only $250.
So we are going to welcome our next guest to the show. They have an interesting story because when we do Not Your Average Listener, sometimes it's a strange item they might have. It's an interesting occupation. It's a stupid human trick. It's some kind of skill or whatever. Or it's a lifestyle, which these guys are living. And we are going to welcome Mike and Jess Schistler to the show. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Happy to have you. Where are you guys from, by the way? You can't hear your headphones?
No.
There's a volume knob that Nick probably should have showed you there, so feel free to turn those up. Is that better? Nothing at all.
Damn it to hell.
Well, that's very bizarre.
Reach in your crotch.
You guys can go ahead. Nick's
Left testicle.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Got it?
Hey!
Was it because that panel fell off earlier this morning?
I don't know, but it was the volume knob underneath, not the one on top.
Jess, can you hear as well? All right. Thumbs up from both of them. All right, cool. now we're almost like a real show.
We're going to reveal what your story is. Where are you guys originally from?
So I grew up in Hatfield, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And Jess was from Texas and Minnesota, and then we finally met in Baltimore.
Okay. All right. Now, the interesting story about you guys is that you kind of live a nomadic lifestyle. You don't have a home. You live in a van. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
But when you hear of someone living in a van, you get kind of an image in your head.
Matt Foley.
Yeah, Matt Foley, Chris Farley. Yeah.
Living down by the river. Yeah.
But that's not you guys. You got a pretty tricked out van, right?
Right. So there's two people. There's those who are kind of forced to live in a van. That's their last option. But for us, it was a choice and was a selection that we made and the way we want to live our lives.
You both have occupations. Jess, I believe you're a scientist, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you are an architect?
Yep.
So it's not like you, we have no recourse but to do this. This is actually, I think, a bucket list item for a number of people. Albert Brooks romanticized it in Lost in America.
Yeah.
Except they had an RV.
Yeah.
But to be able to travel around like that, to be able to go and go out on the road for long periods of time. Were you always, both you, sort of nomadic by nature growing up?
Of course, everyone loves to travel. It's one of our favorite things to do. And then also it kind of ties into this tiny home kind of thing.
The tiny home thing's huge.
Yeah.
By the way, like on DIY Network, there is a tiny home show. Do you watch that?
Yeah.
And it's about conservation of space and what they can do now. You live in a van.
Yes.
How big is the van?
So we are actually in our second van now. It's about 18 feet long. There's a picture of it up there.
First van was destroyed by elk, which we'll get to
correct.
That story.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. But so it is a van, but one of the best parts about it, we can stand up in it. So once you're able to stand up, it feels like a tiny little home. We actually built it ourselves.
You're an architect, so you came up with the schematics for this whole thing?
Yeah. I mean, it's every architect's dream to build your own home. And I was working as an architect for several years, and it just didn't lead in that direction. So I felt like I was designing mall bathrooms and parking garages. And
you can't live in those.
Right, exactly. Right. And so, that dream of building your own house kind of fades away and gets smaller and smaller. And then finally you're like, wait a second, I can do it this way. And it's been a dream come
true.
This
is how people, and they make the point with this DIY show, it's how people cut a lot of costs. They can, that your home can travel with you. So once you decided, and Jess, you were on board right from the get go.
It was my idea.
It was your idea. Yeah. All right. And so when you start to, do you design the ultimate sort of your version of the Batmobile basically, and then head out, or were you going out just traveling about before you had this vehicle, and were you like touring through Europe and all that stuff, or what was your traveling like prior to making the decision to live this way fully?
Yeah, we pretty much went from the standard 9 to 5. We weren't, we took a few vacations every year, but we jumped right in. We said we're going to buy a van, and we committed fully to it. So,
are you working currently?
Yes, we both still work as much as we can. Jess can work remotely. All she needs is a laptop, a cell connection.
What's your specifically? What do you do, Jess, as far as the realm of science and your scientific endeavors? What do you do?
So currently I do science communication. So I have a background in research science. I have a PhD in biochem. But I found out that there wasn't a lot of communication between scientists and the public. So now I help translate science so that it's more accessible.
Wow.
So, Mike, you and I spoke two weeks or so ago, and you said the two most common questions are, how do you afford this? And the second question is,
where do you poop?
Right. Where do you
poop? I was wondering where you took showers, actually.
Yeah. So where do you poop?
We in the van, we have...
In our lobby.
We do take advantage of, gas stations and rest stops when we can, but we do have a composting toilet in the van. It's a beautiful. It's a $900 toilet.
But state of the art, right? I assume for not to get graphic, but for odor control and things like that, you're in close proximity to it. I understand that they are like you're good to go.
Exactly.
No pun intended.
Yeah. All right. So you just go where you want to go at any given time. Now with an RV, things like that, you can pull up to certain areas and they have hookup stations and so on, and you can, you know, maybe pay and stay for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. How does that work with a van?
So we actually kind of made a decision not to use and not rely on a lot of those places. So, as us compared to a normal RV, we are far more off grid and more self sufficient. So we have solar panels on the roof.
Oh,
So we can sit and park. We have power and for
you're
days.
Not, you're not limit. Trailer. You're not beholden to a trailer park, or you can exist out and really go rural if you want to.
Yeah.
Do you have things like sat phones, satellite phones, and things of that nature? Or
we have a cell phone booster that kind of puts us right on the edge. You know, we don't go way into the forest, but we can be definitely out in the wilderness and still have a connection.
You guys post all kinds of great pictures on social media. Nick was showing me some of these, and where I think there was one, Nick, there was one that you were almost like in a. I don't know. It looks like you're in the middle of nowhere, but you had like a swimming hole or something like that.
Yeah,
or...
I think that was from one of our favorite spots. Was last summer we saw the solar eclipse in Wyoming.
There
wow!
It was, wait, go back up, Nick. One more right there.
This one.
One more over by the. She's in the water. Yeah. And where is this picture?
So that was out in the middle of Wyoming.
This one's Mammoth.
This says Sierra Nevada.
Yeah. So this is a Sierra Nevada. By
Mammoth. Okay. Sorry, Nick's got the picture on his
there
monitor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where is that?
By Mammoth in California.
And
in
so that's a hot spring. We were there during ski season.
Okay.
And we kind of made a mission to seek out as many hot springs as we could. And this is what a lot of them look like. They're beautiful, remote little places, and we can stay there the night. And
that's what I was going to ask. So the van is part of it. You could stay right there and just...
We had the whole place to ourselves.
Oh, my God.
See, that's gorgeous. Sunrise. It is a very romantic, enticing lifestyle. You know, but like to do exactly stuff like this, how long did you spend there?
Just probably about 24 hours.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, I want to give their social media. I want to give your Instagram account, which is it van.there? So it's at van.there. Go ahead and take a look right now while you're listening to this segment, and you can see, you know, obviously the van and some of the wonderful locations you got. And you guys are both easy to look at, too. You're both good-looking people, doesn't hurt.
I keep track of Not Your Average listeners, so I just put... Mike and Jess, the hot couple that lives in a van.
The best looking, not your average listeners.
Well, I had a question for you guys. So are you based somewhere solely? I mean, I know you've done this so that you can travel around, but is there somewhere you come back to?
Not exactly. We own a house in Baltimore that we used to live in, but now we're renting it out. So,
two meth heads.
No.
Where you get your mail?
Yeah, so some of our tax information still goes to
right. You have to have a fixed address to get that, right?
But you have no fixed, real fixed living space address.
No.
Wow. Being off the grid like that, again, is romantic to a number of people. And I think it's kind of cool. But does it present a series of problems that you had not thought about before you went out?
Beyond the mail issue, that's about it.
That's it, really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Where do you shower?
So in the summer, we find ourselves swimming every couple days in lakes or oceans or whatever. And then also Anytime Fitness, we have a little plug for them, but, membership with them gets you 24-hour access, and they have 3,000 locations across the country. So
that's why I was wondering if like maybe you joined a Y or something like, you know, 'cause you could do it there as well. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you think that this is a long-term thing? Is this a couple of years, then we'll see what happens next? Or, you know, what is the long-term plan?
That's the question we get from our parents a lot. And we just say it's open-ended. That's all we can say
for
right now.
I would imagine you'd want to live in a studio apartment in the city, right? No, I think this is probably, once it's in your soul to do this, I can't see how you would do anything but this. You know, Jess, you're nodding. So does that make sense to you?
Yeah, and actually about the last month while we were rebuilding the van at his dad's house, we had the itch. Like, we just got to go. And seeing someplace new every day and wherever you go, you're home. I mean, that's really the big benefit of this lifestyle.
It makes you antsy. There are things you could put on your list. Like, I don't know, like for me, I've always wanted to go do, go do a little like storm chasing, you know, and do stuff like that. What's on your list of things to do? And what, up to this point, are some of the most exciting things you've ended up doing?
I mean, it started with just national parks. We love them, and there are so many different opportunities in different national parks.
They're phenomenal, and a lot of people don't consider them and need to get out and see them. Right. You know, it's just amazing, right here in our own country.
Exactly. And then we also go to Burning Man every year, so this kind of puts us in... you know, if we say we want to be in Nevada in August, we can definitely make that happen. And if something else pops up, we want to go to Key West. We ended up found ourselves down there.
So. Wow. What is your connection to the Preston and Steve show? So we have a Not Your Average listener. You guys listen to our show. So
yeah,
how did that come about?
I've been listening since I used to ride the school bus in middle school. I remember every morning and beyond.
Oh, dear God. Yeah.
Yeah. So started then, and I've been podcasting about every day for
And how did you convince a learned woman like Jess to
to do this.
to listen to our imbecilic.
I don't care how hot you are. I wouldn't go with you.
it took a little while, but now she finally knows your voices, and she kind of gets all the jokes. And she's
right. I have a friend named Jeff, and he follows you guys on Instagram. And I think one of the great developments on Instagram over the last few years is stories. It's sort of an interesting insight that's not quite as permanent, quote unquote, on Instagram. And so he was watching one of your stories. I don't remember exactly where you guys were, but he recognized what you were listening to, which was our show. He put me in touch with you guys, and here we are today. So these little bridges get made because of things like Instagram stories, which is cool.
Yeah, the Instagram community has been huge in all of this.
And they're supportive in your endeavor and allowing you to do this, right?
Right, right.
With this nomadic lifestyle, do you guys miss out on a regular social engagement with you know, people regularly in your lives? Obviously, you're meeting new people almost every day, and that's got to be unique and cool in and of itself. But do you miss having close friends that you're around all the time, or is it just not an
issue?
It
hasn't really – no, it hasn't been something we're seeking out. But the other part is we've realized once we've been on the road how many people we know in how many different states. And so – about at least once a month, we can pop in and see friends in California or we have friends in South Dakota.
Well, are there people that you, I'm sorry, Case, are there people that you intersect with who are doing likewise and occasionally link up with?
Most of these friends I just mentioned, they're thick. They have, you know, living homes, and we can go and use their showers or whatever. But there's a growing number of list of other people also traveling, and we get to like see when our circles intersect, and we meet up in random places. Next month in Missouri, there's a van gathering with us and maybe 50 other vans doing the same thing.
Van Halen.
That's so cool. Hey, what about like your friends from here? Will they meet you out somewhere that's like
They say they will, but they never do.
It's really hard to coordinate.
I'm insanely jealous of you guys right now. This is just super, super cool. And I was watching Lakefront Bargains the other night, and it was at Flathead Lake in Montana. Have you guys ever been there? It's like right outside of Glacier National Park.
No, Glacier is still on the list.
But you haven't made it there yet?
No, we have been through Montana a couple times. We actually bought our most recent van in Billings, Montana. So that was a...
Was that the site of the elk collision?
What happened?
Let's hear that story.
Yeah, the quick story there is this past winter we were out skiing. We were on our way to Idaho, Sun Valley, Idaho, and we thought about stopping for the night, but we're like, no, we're just 2 more hours, and we'll meet up with some friends in Sun Valley. And about 9:30 at night, we were driving down the road, and a whole herd of elk kind of just collided with us on a
broadsided you.
Yeah, one hit us in the side. We hit one and went up over the front. There's an image of it up on the screen.
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and basically totaled the van. It was...
They're huge.
They are, yeah.
They're huge.
And so we were stuck in Idaho, and we had to kind of find a hotel and find some accommodations for a few days.
Oh, man, indoor plumbing.
Yeah,
does
exactly.
It feel weird when you are in a fixed location, a fixed domicile, and it's like, well, I can't move this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You guys must really love each other.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, every day.
You can't run into another room and slam the door when you're angry.
However, you can run out into the middle of the plains.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, so, but that is a good point because even the best of relationships, you're going to agitate each other. And leave me alone. I'm going to sit 7 inches from you.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, we're like any other couple. There's arguments every day, but the world is our backyard.
Yeah, and so that counters the stuff. Yeah. How about the driving duties? How do you handle that when you got a long stretch of driving to do?
I do a 99.9% of it.
Really?
Never driven.
Really?
Wow.
Is that because are you?
Are you a control freak?
Are you a control freak?
It started out as a way that a lot of times she has to work during normal business hours, so I could do the driving, and I say, if you make the money, I'll do the driving.
How are you maintaining Wi-Fi and things of that nature? Are you purely going over cell signals to get work done?
Yep,
that's got to be expensive, right?
We use a lot of data a month, but we have unlimited plans. So
okay, all right.
Do you think that this would have been possible 10 or 15 years ago?
I think it definitely was. And I think, you know, we're not the first ones to do this, the whole van life thing. It's been
Well, the Donner Party worked out so well.
Exactly, right. The 60s, 70s, we're not the first. Even Jess's aunt, she did it way back when.
Really?
The only thing that's changed is the technology and the way that we can stay connected and the type of work we can now do.
Have you gotten jaded to how beautiful the American West is?
Nope, not a bit.
You can't. It's just so gorgeous.
It is an amazing thing. I've had the fortune through years of doing stand-up comedy. I've been to every state in the union and been out there. There are moments that I will carry for my life where you're out there and you just see it. To always have that is something like, wow, I don't think, Preston, would it be possible to get sick of that, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God, you can fit bikes in there?
Oh, dude, it's so crazy.
We have, under the bed, we store two bikes, skis, snowboard, stand-up paddleboard, a regular surfboard.
Jeez.
And camping gear, some tents.
You ever had anything stolen?
Luckily not. No.
Okay.
That's a big fear.
You have a security system? I mean, because obviously the entire van could get stolen, but do you have a... As an architect or as someone who has, you know, design capabilities, you can discreetly hide things, I'm sure. Or, I mean, I'm sure this isn't stuff that is just crossing
your
mind now.
We don't want to give away too many secrets, right. But yes. Yeah.
All right, well, how about clothes? You can't have too big of a rotation of that. It would take up too much space.
Yeah, so I typically, every morning I wake up, I'm going to put on my uniform is what I call it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Last fall I said, all right, here's my pair of pants, here's my shirt. I better like them because I'm going to wear them basically every day.
That's why they stay in shape, so they can remain naked most of the time.
We went to Florida for spring training, and I took this really small bag, and Kathy and Marissa were like, that's awesome.
Is everything
brought?
In there?
Everything's in there? What if we have to go out to dinner somewhere?
It's like extra underwear. It's
Kathy had what? Most.
Jess, what do you have?
I have the same size closet that he does.
A few things?
Yeah, more than a few things, okay. But... We're set for any occasion that comes about.
So what was the so we were out on the road. You have the thing with the elk, and you're traveling on. When did you feel that things were getting dicey? Did you have a moment where you thought, okay, this could be a do or die situation? Any of those? Because when you travel around, you're bound to encounter weather or whatever.
Not really. I mean, we have driven in a few snowstorms we shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But for the most part, if we don't feel comfortable or something's gone wrong, we just pull over and we can sleep. We can,
that's great. You got yourself contained.
Right.
Yeah, because the normal issue would be someone's in a passenger car without the ability to exist.
Sure.
Your home is your car. You're ready to go.
Hey, when you guys, you had said you were in Key West, did you feel cornered at that point? Because, I mean, like... There's nowhere else you can go. You know what I mean? Like, there's only really one way you can go. So, like, when you find yourself, did you go to, like, Acadia or anything like that?
Yeah, we did.
When you find yourself in, like, any sort of corner of the country, you're like, oh, my God, I can't get out.
No, it's more like a destination. It's a checklist. You know, you check that off the box and you say, I went to the southernmost point or whatever.
We actually went from Acadia to Key West.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right, how long did that take?
About 10 days. We were trying to make it to a fantasy fest in Key West. So we had to book it down there.
Around October-ish?
Halloween, yeah.
Wow. Are you sponsored via Instagram?
No. So we have made a little bit of money from some different people and things like that. So we constantly work to, you know, find new brands and new people to work with, but it's not a steady source of income yet.
If you're just tuning in, it's Not Your Average Listener segment, and we have Jess and Mike Schisler who are here, and they live the van life. They live a nomadic lifestyle. They don't have a home. They just travel. They have this beautiful, awesome van. They archive it in all their travels on Instagram, which is van.life.
There.
Van.there.
Van.there. Sorry about that. People are asking. People are also asking, how about miles? How many miles do you think you guys have put in so far?
Last year we did about 30,000.
Oh my God, that's around the Earth. That's over the
yeah. We actually marked that moment. 24,901 miles. I think is the circumference of the Earth.
Where were you?
We were in Southern California, and it was crazy. We were like driving in this California traffic and getting off this off ramp, and I was like, "This is it right here." But we made sure to mark it.
Yeah. You're in a traffic jam, so a little less eventful than you would have liked, but you still did it. That's amazing.
You're obviously limited in where you can get as far as land is concerned. You can't drive to Hawaii. So what are the places where you still want to go that you haven't been yet? And what are the extremes? Farthest west, north, southeast?
So we've hit all four corners of the lower 48 states, all the way up to the northern corner of Washington, down to Key West and San Diego to Maine. But we have kind of missed out on a lot of Utah, which we're headed there next. It's one of the spots we need to do. And Alaska as well.
And what will that drive be like?
We have no idea what to expect. Some people say that road to Alaska is a nightmare. Everyone says basically you're going to need a new windshield when you get back.
It's gorgeous, yeah. I mean, and it, yeah. There are definite extremes, right. You know.
Why a new windshield? I'm sorry, Press.
It's a rough gravel, maybe not gravel road, but it's certainly a rough road, and logging trucks come flying in the other direction and kick up stones.
Do you guys collect anything going everywhere?
No, we really can't.
They don't have room.
I know, that's why I was curious, but maybe stickers.
Wagon wheels, Preston.
The one thing that wagon wheels and swings.
We heard you guys talking the other day about drawing your vacations and things like that. So that is something what I do. So everywhere I go, I take a sketchbook.
You're an architect, yeah.
And,
can draw, though. You're not as horrible as Kathy.
Yeah, you're not like my
I thought you had drawn a family on fire. It turned out it was Spain.
Yeah, so there's a photo of it, actually. So I run another account called Drawn There. Drawn underscore there.
See, that looks like what it is, whereas Kathy's, again, look like a family on fire.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. Wow. So how do we access those pictures that you're drawing?
Yeah, so that's my source of income is through drawnthere.com. I draw and sell these prints, and it works out great.
I'm sure another family question you guys get, kids, is that ever going to happen, or have you made a decision not to do that?
There are currently no kids, and for the time being, it's going to stay that way.
Okay.
You keep buy a smaller van that you just drove.
Yeah, just tow it behind you. Yeah. That's
how much gas money do you guys go through in a month?
I think we budget $300 or $400.
A month?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not that bad.
No.
So we often will drive about 2 hours a day, and then we might stay put for 2 or 3 days, and then drive another 2 hour day, and then stay put for a few days. So all in all, it's not too many miles.
What's the longest you've ever stayed in one spot?
Probably for the eclipse in Wyoming. We stayed about a week.
Wow.
We saw this great camp spot online, and it was free, right on the lake. And we said, we got to get there. It's going to get taken up.
We, on occasion, just for fun around our area, will hop in the car with one of our kids, and we'll just drive wherever.
You know, and then abandon that child.
We'll let them pick which way you want to turn. All right, next intersection, which way you want to go. And then we'll just end up wherever we end up. Do you guys ever do that type of thing, or do you know where you're going to go every single time?
We mostly know where we're going to go. We use Google Maps religiously, and sometimes it's just like, oh, here's a green spot, you know, we're going to check out this little green space on our way to somewhere else.
And yeah,
how many of the destinations are predicated like on festivals and things that you attend and events throughout the year, like Burning Man? Does that comprise a lot of your yearly schedule?
Yeah, we try not to plan too far ahead.
Yeah,
typically we have like one event maybe 2 months out, and then over that 2 months, we just say, all right, we need to generally head in this northwest direction and make it to that event.
What are the must go to events annually for your traveling? Besides, is Burning Man seems to be one of them?
Yeah, that's really the only one.
The only one?
That's set in stone. We already have tickets. So
not Comic-Con? Wizard World? No, okay.
But I bet you've had to have stumbled across some pretty unique gatherings and things that nobody knows about or people just haven't really heard about that are, you know, some kind of like, you know, the Acorn Festival or whatever.
I'm trying
just something, you know what I mean?
I think it's cowboy? The cowboy poetry reading. There's a festival of old men, old cowboys writing and reading poetry.
Okay. I have no underwear.
This one right there. Yep.
I love freckles. Yeah. Underwear on.
About 22 years ago, I drove across the country, and my friend Stu had two great rules, and he set these in advance, which were no chain restaurants across the entire country, and as much as we possibly could to get off the interstate highways. And as a result, we saw a lot of the country and experienced food in a different way than just going through the chains. And so it was a really beneficial way to see parts of America that maybe you wouldn't see otherwise. Do you guys have any rules like that, or are the things that you try to stick to every time you hit the road?
Nothing but chain restaurants and stay on the highway.
No rules.
Yeah.
We use a site called freecampsites.net, and so that's where we find places to stay overnight. And so typically we'll just look in an area, see where the campsite is, and that kind of drives where we go.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. It's a pretty cool lifestyle if you can do it.
I think we're all fairly envious of that lifestyle.
I'd never be able to do it, but it would be so cool to be able to. All right. Well, here's what we could do. We got to get to your input, your feedback on this. So it's Mike and Jess Schisler who are here, and they travel the world. It's what they do. They have no fixed address, and they take the Preston and Steve Show with them everywhere, which is pretty awesome.
How about that crap?
So what we need you to do is text the word yes or no to 39333. Yes, if they win the cash prize. No, if you don't think that they are deserving of it. So it is up to you now, Preston and Steve listeners. Text the word yes or no to 39333. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will put all the numbers together and we'll find out what you had to say.
93.3 WMMR announces the next installment of our series of fan friendly, private, and free concerts. Wednesday, June 6th, it's Pierre Presents Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. I'm gonna leave it all out and drive. Join us for this invitation-only noontime event at Ardmore Music Hall. Win your way in on the air with Pierre or at Ticket Rates. Get details and schedule at WMMR.com. Pierre Presents Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats from Ardmore Music Hall and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. I wish we had more time with the guests because I have more questions. Yeah.
We could travel around with them if you'd like.
Maybe. Do we need to ask their permission?
Nah. But we have a couple of vans.
We have Mike and Jess Schisler who are here this morning, and they travel the world, or they travel the United States, I should say.
They would drown if they did it.
They would probably be difficult if they tried to travel the world in their van. But they take us with them wherever they go, and they've seen some fascinating stuff, and they live a very, very interesting lifestyle. Is it enough to be considered a Not Your Average listener? Let's find out. We had your text in, and we got a lot of votes, a lot of comments, a lot of questions from people as well.
See, people are invested in this.
But do they win our $250 cash prize? 94% of the people polled said yes, they do. So 94% yes vote. That's a bit of a landslide.
That's damn good.
So we're going to give you guys, it's more of just a little thank you for coming by, a $250 cash prize. But more of it is just to hear about your story and the cool things that you guys have done. How long are you in the area for?
We've been in the area for about a month, rebuilding this current van.
Yeah.
And we'll be here for about another week and then making our way to... We're going to help shoot a documentary up in northern Pennsylvania.
Documentary on you guys?
Yeah, so a guy out of Montreal is making a documentary about us and three other van life couples. Mm-hmm. We're lucky to be one of them.
So it's more photogenic than you guys.
Well, I don't know.
Just stay with
you
guys.
They're super good looking. Yeah. You got it.
Who wants to watch those other slobs?
You need to check out their van.their Instagram.
I'd watch your show. I'm not going to watch some guy hunched over. Some guy who doesn't have a stand-up. Van who has a hunchback.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, good luck with that. And, of course, keep us posted on something like that.
Yeah.
And when stuff is coming available or if you stumble across something really cool and you want to let us know, we'd love to hear about it.
It'd be cool to hear from you, if it's possible, out on the road where you are at different points to check in. Yeah.
You need a field reporter, we're there for you.
If we had known you were at the eclipse...
You would have been our correspondent.
You would have been our correspondent. Yeah.
Well, what other sort of events are going on soon?
Well, there's Comic-Con. But anything like that, because we actually did have, there were two women who were rowing, who rode from California to Hawaii, and they had a satellite phone, and we stayed in contact with them.
They called us from the Pacific. Middle of the Pacific Ocean.
It was amazing.
In a rowboat. It was so cool.
Wait, what happened to them? Didn't something happen?
They were eaten by sharks.
No, stop it.
No, they were fine.
They made it.
Did they make it?
Yes.
I thought something happened
to their boat. They died at sea, Kathy.
Their trip was delayed because of some reason. I can't remember exactly. I think maybe somebody got sick.
Okay.
Let's fight the Kraken, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wasn't there a big storm at one point?
There was.
A couple. A hurricane?
Yeah.
I mean, literally a hurricane in the South Pacific.
We'll stay in touch with you guys for sure. Thanks for coming by. Good luck with everything.
You can hang out. More than welcome to hang out and watch the since you don't get here too often.
Casey wants me to give you a WMMR bumper sticker.
And
to put on the van?
I don't know. Marissa handed it to me.
Okay, here you go.
All right, we got a bumper.
We know people. We'll get you stickers.
Well, we really shower them with gifts.
Hey, we gave
$250 and a bumper stick. We gave him a Yeti.
We gave him a Yanni.
Yeah, we gave him a Yanni.
Yeah.
President Steve Yanni. All right, well, thank you guys, Jess and Mike.
Yay! Yay!
All right, we have to do the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you this morning by McGuff Bus Company. And you have your New Jersey CDL, and you're looking for a change. McGuff Bus Company offers guaranteed hours, health benefits, and they pay industry top dollar. Visit McGuffBus.com. for information. Well, a couple were told that their baby didn't need a doctor and would, quote, poop out a remote control battery that he swallowed. And they are poised to get a $475,000 settlement from the city of Lauderhill after the battery corroded and damaged the boy's throat.
Of course.
The couple, Yandy Joseph and Matthew Asia, took the advice of emergency responders, they say, in their lawsuit
and they didn't immediately take their young son to the hospital. When his saliva interacted with the battery lodged in his esophagus, he suffered severe medical complications and was hospitalized for 3 months. Joseph had called 911 because her son, described as a baby in the lawsuit, had swallowed the button battery from a remote control for a fan. When fire rescue paramedics arrived about 10 minutes later, she showed them the battery and from another device so they could see what he had swallowed. One of the emergency medical technicians picked up the boy and said, "He looks good to me, and he'll probably poop it out."
Yeah, he'll probably poop it out, but they did take the remote to the hospital.
The mom said that the technician told her that if we took him to the hospital, that's what they'll tell you. And they gave no other advice, and then they left.
Well, they were wrong.
Yeah. She inspected her baby in the next two bowel movements, but there was no sign of the battery. The next morning, he threw up, so she called poison control. They instructed her to take him to the hospital immediately. And he had to required multiple surgeries and was in the hospital for 3 months.
That's horrible.
So they deserve to get compensation for that. Federal court papers described a scheme in which the mailing address for the corporate headquarters of shipping giant UPS was changed to a small apartment in the Chicago area.
Really?
Yeah. UPS is based in Sandy Springs with 745,000 square feet of office space at its headquarters campus.
I'm sure they're getting a lot of mail.
But mail destined for the headquarters was diverted to apartment L2 in the Rogers Park neighborhood of Chicago.
Well, maybe that's a cost-cutting move.
Among the correspondence were letters meant for the company's CEO and other executives, sensitive documents containing personal information, as well as corporate credit cards and tens of thousands of dollars in business checks.
So how many pounds of mail per day would you imagine they were getting?
I don't know, but it wasn't until the resident, Deshaun Spruce, allegedly deposited nearly $60,000 in UPS checks into his bank account.
There you go.
That UPS was alerted to the alleged scam. They issued a statement saying the U.S. Postal Service corrected the issues and the USPS Postal Inspector is investigating the incident. A 15-year-old girl was arrested at her Florida middle school for allegedly sharing pot-laced chips with her classmates. Police said at least three students at Driftwood Middle School got sick earlier this week after they ate the THC-laced chips labeled as Wheatos Flamin' Hot.
Wheatos?
Instead of Cheetos, the bag resembles a bag of Cheetos.
So are these marketed this way?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Officials said the teenager admitted to bringing the snacks into the school and sharing them with her friends, who she said she knew that they were laced with THC.
Oh.
Police said one student was transported to to a nearby hospital, while another student is said to have hallucinated after ingesting the product. The third student was carried out of school by her father because she couldn't walk.
Wow.
Police said the effects of the THC eventually wore off. The girl told police that the man gave her that a man had given her the snacks. The man has not been identified and is part of an open investigation. Hey, if you're going to hide a video camera inside a porta potty, make sure not to be accidentally filmed while setting up the equipment.
Yeah, that's what I've learned.
Police alleged that you've since...
Yeah, you wait till nighttime and then you install your camera.
Police alleged that a Pennsylvania voyeur earlier this month placed a tiny camera behind the toilet paper dispenser inside a portable toilet on a construction site near Johnstown. The camera, cops say, recorded several unsuspecting victims before a worker discovered the hidden evidence. A review of the camera's footage showed Kenneth Haluska installing the device inside the mobile restroom. Haluska, wearing a white construction helmet and a green safety vest, was seen in a still from the seized video. Haluska,
it's all part of my efforts to watch people poop.
Haluska, an engineering inspector, had been at the Johnstown construction site on the day that the camera was found.
Look at this guy. Look at these pictures.
I know.
Looks like he's performing an operation.
What does he like to do?
I like to watch people poop, but capturing it on video, well, that's the holy grail.
A detective identified three victims who were recorded inside the porta potty. He has been charged with 9 misdemeanor counts in the incident, and that is what I have for you. B-File-wise this morning, I want to do another giveaway with our friends from the Spirit of Philadelphia here this morning. And you can cap off your weekend with Marissa Magnata on May 20th for Sunday Fun Day, the lunch cruise on the Spirit of Philadelphia. Let's take call number 15 at 215-263-WMMR, and I'm going to get you tickets to that event.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Marissa is a great party host, and that's the day after MMRBQ, so she should be in fine form.
Yes.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
A reminder, both Steve and I participating in the Laurel House Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event this Saturday, May 5th. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's in Phoenixville in the Pfizer parking lot. I got links on PrestonandSteve.com. Marissa's going to tweet something out about that. But we'd love for you to join us on our team. Get signed up because we're a little low this year. We need more. I got a goose this attack.
Well, with the weather promising to be really good, obviously you spearhead the event. I'm only too happy to participate because it's such a good cause.
Yep.
And it's really a good time. Come on out. Yep. There's usually pretzels.
Beautiful day. There's lots of pretzels.
It's pretzels.
And, of course, we're helping to fight domestic abuse. And domestic abuse in Laurel House is a wonderful organization, a women's shelter that helps out with not only giving women a place to go, but helping out for their future, carving out a future.
Yes.
After they've had something like that happen to them. So we're going to do it on Saturday. The weather's going to be great. We want you to be there. So please join the team. You can do it on the link online. Very easy to do. Lesson question today. We are going to give away a pair of tickets for... Night of Interactive Comedy. It's going to be Colin Mochrie and Brad Sherwood from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
This Friday at the Excise Center at Parks Casino. So answer this correctly, and we'll set you up with those tickets. Who did Ronnie from the Jersey Shore apologize to? What was their screen name? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you can remember that. Who did Ronnie? First, he called her a hoe and leave her in the gutter.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it was sweet talk.
Who was it he was apologizing to? What was her screen name? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We are going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by A.D. Moyer, voted the number one window dealer in the Tri-County area for 15 consecutive years. Don't just replace your windows. Upgrade your home with Anderson Windows. A.D. Moyer. .com. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Latoya Jackson receiving a reading with Hollywood medium Tyler Henry for an upcoming episode. Henry provided closure for Latoya, explaining that Michael Jackson died in his sleep after accidentally swallowing his nose.
Oh my God.
Gerard Butler reportedly considering taking a break from acting to focus on his personal life. Butler says this would be different than the break he took from acting while starring in his past five movies.
Woo!
And in light of recent departures from a support staff, R. Kelly clarifying that he fully supports the pro-woman goals of the Me Too movement. Kelly says he wants to work with any woman, saying Me Too to the question, who likes being urinated on?
Oh my God.
You're Hollywood trash.
All righty then. We're going to see if we can find an answer to this question. Who did Ronnie from the Jersey Shore apologize to? What was her screen name? 215-263-WMMR is the number. So let me try out John, see if he knows the answer. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, John, we're going to see if you were listening earlier. Who? Who did Ronnie from the Jersey Shore apologize to? What was her screen name?
Tater Tot Kitty.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. Hang on a second. That's all I heard. John is going to get a pair of tickets for Interactive Comedy Night with Colin Mochrie and Brian Sherwood from Drew Carey's improv TV show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? One night only. That is this Friday, the 4th, at 8 p.m. at the new Excite Center at Parks Casino. ParksCasino.com for tickets. Must be at least 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Hi, Ms. News brought to you by Rita's Water Ice. Does it really feel like spring? It's finally warm out, so you can head to Rita's to cool off with a refreshing Italian ice made fresh daily or other amazing frozen treats you can only find at Rita's. We'll start with Guns N' Roses. Fans have gone into wild speculation mode following the arrival of a new website, GNR.fm, that appears to be teasing an upcoming product or event related to the band's classic Appetite for Destruction album. The site, which is registered...
Is it pudding?
No, it's registered to Universal Music Group, and it's displaying the message, Destruction is Coming, along with the hashtag Appetite for Destruction. In addition, a billboard featuring the five skulls from the Appetite for Destruction cover art, which each represents one of the original band members, has shown up in the Camden area of London, also promoting GNR.fm site. This has led to speculation that Appetite for Destruction will be reissued in a special deluxe edition with plenty of bonus material, although there's been no official
word to date.
What the f*** is this?
On any kind of releases. Now, some fans are going further, theorizing that the inclusion of all five skulls from the original cover means that the founding members, Steven Adler and guitarist Izzy Stradlin, will participate in an event focused on Appetite. Now, neither Adler nor Stradlin have been part of the GNR reunion tour, although Adler did rejoin them on a couple of stops on the U.S. Leg of the tour.
So,
One gig in Buenos Aires.
The speculation is they might join the absolute original lineup.
I don't see it happening because Izzy reportedly turned down, they were going to pay him a five-figure deal to participate in that tour, but he said that the band didn't want to split the loot equally and he wasn't having any part of it.
They could do a tour like U2 did and do Joshua Tree, you know, how Joshua
Tree
just
was. Yeah, do Appetite.
Yeah.
Is Guns N' Roses, though, familiar with Joshua Tree? They'd have to learn all the songs.
I don't think they would try to do that album.
I meant they would do Appetite.
I said you're right, of course.
Yeah.
What the hell am I thinking?
The Edgewater Hotel in Seattle, which already has a Beatles-themed suite, is now taking booking for its Pearl Jam suite.
Oh.
Nick, were you aware of this?
I was not.
You got to go there.
All right.
The hotel
partnered. Send up those extra pillows in just a few minutes.
The hotel partnered with the band.
Continental breakfast, everything.
Their band and their fan club to put together the new accommodations. According to the hotel's website, the suite includes industrial grunge-inspired designs.
I love this stuff.
Authentic band art posters, fan representation and design, and the ultimate rock and roll luxury.
Yeah, I think it's cool, too. But thematic hotels. My wife and I stayed in a hotel in Scotland each room had a different taste of scotch associated with it.
Oh.
And me, the heavy drinker that I am. But it was still cool. It had this whole vibe to it. You know, some people think it's kind of a gimmick. I think it's cool.
We stayed in the Inn of the Dove one time with
really?
The jungle theme.
Really? Yeah, that's Elvis used to like the jungle theme.
The jungle room. Yeah, it literally had trees in it and stuff.
All right, did you do the closed fist beating on your chest at any point?
No, I did swing from one of the branches.
Did you really?
Yeah, why not?
You gotta.
Yeah, Inn of the Dove. That's the only theme sex hotel we ever did. It was
sure.
Kind of a joke, but it was fun. Rochelle and I stayed there. The suite also has a record player, all the band's albums on vinyl.
Toilet.
That's pretty cool. Plus a guitar and amplifier in case the next Eddie Vedder stays there and wants to get the urge to jam. Speaking of him, his three-day Ohana Fest.
Ohana Fest?
Yep, which he organizes with surfer Kelly Slater. Is set to take place on September 28th, 29th, and 30th at Doney State Beach in Dana Point, California.
I'll see you at Doney.
Vedder himself will headline a bill that also includes the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Mumford & Sons, Beck, Norah Jones, Liz Phair, Young the Giant, and others. That should be pretty cool.
I'm going to try to go. Yeah. It's over a weekend in September, and my friend Scott lives right near there, so I'm going to try and make a trip out.
I'm a big fan of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
I like Mumford & Sons.
let's go together. We'll rent a van.
I like the Tin Man.
Tickets go on sale May 4th.
And the Pretzels.
through the festival's website. Pearl Jam has been writing its 11th studio LP and is headed out on a European and North American tour later this spring and summer. Speaking of U2, as you had mentioned, Steve, their new video for Love is Bigger Than Anything in Its Way celebrates the LGBTQ community of their hometown of Dublin. For the Songs of Experience track, the band enlisted the help of director David Mushigan.
You haven't had a lesbian until you've had a Dublin lesbian. That's what I say.
Who spoke about the clip on U2.com. And said that he wanted to...
Hot lesbos.
We have the hottest lesbos in Europe right here in Ireland. Props to the LGBTQ community, right? Did
you leave out a letter? You got it, Bono. It's absolutely right.
I want to be inclusive.
So David Mushigan said he wanted to showcase the extended reach of the community. He said the LGBTQ community is made up, of course, of people who are LGBTQ themselves. But
of course, any idiot could tell you that.
But the community also.
Who comprises this community? Well, the people in it.
But it also includes friends and family.
Of course.
So really, it's inclusive of everyone, he said. It's about being young and expressing yourself. It's about how we all have friends and relatives who dress or look
style themselves differently, but as the new song says, love is bigger than anything in its way.
And they enjoy pretzels.
As YouTube kicks off its North American tour tomorrow night in Tulsa.
Tulsa?
And they will be at the Wells Fargo Center for two nights, June 13th and 14th in Philadelphia.
No stopping that band.
I saw that Janelle Monáe just came out as queer.
Pansexual, she refers to it as.
All right. I don't know what that
what
means.
Is that?
That means everything's up for grabs.
Okay. It means, I'll tell you exactly what it means. It means you are more attracted to the person than what they identify as. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're attracted to someone who is male, female, transgender, or any distinction.
Okay.
So you're more into the person that they are rather than who they present themselves as. So,
you know, wow. I thought it, well, you schooled me because I thought it was you're attracted to a spray that stops stuff from sticking to your cookware.
No, that's
Pam sexual.
Oh, damn it. Well, we just created something new.
Which...
Hey, there was a woman running around earlier banging a car.
Right, exactly.
So. You can't scrape up someone who would have a who would hump a aerosol spray. Then I don't want to live in that world.
No, and that is what I have for you in music news this morning. It's Tuesday, so that means we had some tattoos taking place here in the studios of MMR. We would like to welcome our new friend John, who is here this morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you, John. What is your last? What's your last name, John?
Quinn.
Quinn, and I love that name, Quinn. That's so cool. Where are you from?
Originally from Ronhurst in Philadelphia. Okay. I'm up in Fairless Hills now.
Okay, nice. Good to have you here.
His kids go to Pensbury, and they have the prom coming up.
Ah, that's cool.
Are they going to the prom?
Yes, my twins and my nephew, Lou J.
No kidding. And any idea on how they're going to arrive, or is it going to be a big secret until then?
I believe it's a secret. There is a fallopian built.
A fallopian?
No, a float.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
being
that was,
built.
That was slide down a tube.
That was the backup. That was the backup plan. Right.
They have to have obviously restrictions on
sexual stuff.
Content,
yeah.
I would imagine, I'm sure. Right? It has
I think
to be.
You could blow out of a member, right?
Right. Well, that's pretty cool, ma'am. And what kind of tattoo did you get today? Oh, and by the way, RC is here.
RC.
RC from Tattoos by RC, our artist today. What did you want RC to work on this morning?
Well, I'd given him a couple designs and whatever he could fit in. Within the parameters, and he picked the one with his basically a raven with a skull in it.
Okay,
I actually haven't seen it yet because it was on the back of the arm.
Oh,
so a picture.
There it is.
Oh, there. Oh.
Nice. Okay, it's a raven sitting atop a skull. That is wow. It's got some kind of material dripping off of it,
like the blood of the. Of our Sisyphus farm.
There's definitely Edgar Allan Poe theme.
Yeah, that is obviously there's some sort of the raven has some sort of feather condition.
Big
is,
fan.
Are you a fan of Poe?
Yes.
No kidding. Do you have a favorite? Would the raven be it? Or
I'm a big Telltale Heart.
Ooh, and that's a good one.
Hop Frog as well.
I don't know Hop Frog. That's
you put your left foot in.
No, that's the Hokey Pokey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're getting a lot of things wrong today, Steve.
I really am a bad source of information.
Very cool. A nice nice tribute. What do you do for a living, by the way, John?
I'm a medical carrier for a lab in Bensalem, and I'm also part of a group opening up a craft brewery in Kathy's old neck of the woods, Morrisville, PA.
No kidding.
And I actually brought you guys some T-shirts.
Oh, no way. Cool. What's the name of the brewery?
It's 21 Locks.
Okay.
And
So it's a Jewish place?
Sure.
That's spelled L-O-C-K-S.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And unlock the craft with a smear of cream cheese.
Nice. Are you a brewer?
No. Okay. I'm just an investor.
Okay.
Handshake's over and have a place to hang out at.
It's in a huge place,
that's
though.
Me too.
Right, the location. Where exactly is it again?
If you're familiar with Morrisville, it's the old abandoned factory on Center Street. It's a huge structure.
Gigantic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It should be open hopefully late summer, early fall.
Good for you, man.
There's going to be a coffee house with it. Cool. Quates, there's a huge multiple facilities is being redone.
That's cool.
And I believe we're actually trying to get distillery in there as well.
Ooh, now you're talking about it. Nice. Well, maybe you can talk them into a Poe-themed spirit or brew to make.
Perhaps.
That'd be cool. Well, listen, thanks for coming by here today. We hope you enjoy the ink, and we thank you for listening to the show, man.
Okay. Do you mind if I wish my daughter a happy birthday? Her birthday's tomorrow.
I normally ask everybody to say hi to somebody. Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
My youngest, Casey, who is a freshman at Pensbury. She will be 15 tomorrow.
And named after Casey Boy.
Congratulations to my twins who have the prom and my nephew. They will be graduating Pensbury this year and going way off to college. My oldest is a Philadelphia police officer. She's hopefully going to get back on the job soon. She was injured waiting for surgery. Mm-hmm. I am now a grandkid. know, at the what? Very young age I look. I know. thank you. We call her Mackenzie and Mac Attack. Uh-huh. And last but not least, my wife, who one day next week will be married 19 years. I'm wow. pretty
one
sure.
Day next week.
I'm pretty sure it's the 8th. I'm pretty sure it's the 8th, Jennifer. She's at work right now, working for her sister Joy. And I have one more. I think Casey will appreciate this. I'm going to wish my friend Tom Cross congratulations. 25 years in the same fantasy league without winning a championship.
Yeah!
With how many years? My friend
Jake suggested this shout out I give to him. So, Tommy, congratulations. There's always 26.
Wow. I thought everybody won at least once.
You would think. Man. And he has had some crappy teams, and he has had some just horrific luck.
Wow.
His team's the Mighty Mennonites because he left Philly and he went up. All the way up Lancaster God. Or Lancaster, however the proper way to say it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not sure.
Does he ever have any help drafting these teams or?
No.
It's just easy money, man.
Well, there's no internet up there. He's relying, you know, and whipping buggy. It takes him a long time to get down for the drafts. Oh, but right. He's a good guy.
Cool, man. Well, thank you, John.
Thank you guys for having me.
RC, anything from you?
Yeah, well, first I got to say, listening to the folks over here with the van talk, that's Jenny Bones' dream.
Oh, she wants to live out on the road like that?
She's had me shopping for a van for 6 months.
Okay, all right.
Okay, but it's got to be one that can stand here. Up in is the problem.
Yeah.
She was actually telling me, well, you can get me a regular one, and I'll cut the top off, and I'll build it. And I'm like, wait a minute, stop. You're not going to build a top.
Right.
You know what I mean? But she's got a dream.
Interesting.
Sprinter is the kind of thing, but... And Benjamin West was the other thing. It was Swarthmore. That was my hero when I was in first grade because he was a child artist who mixed his own inks from the clay that he found in Swarthmore and the
creek. How about that?
He also grew up. He did, you know, the old Strawbridge and Clothier painting that was Penn signing the treaty.
That was him? Indians,
that he did that. He did Benjamin Franklin.
He knew Benjamin Franklin?
He did his portrait.
There we go. Sit still, you old bastard.
He was one of the first American-born artist that became basically our master.
That's wild.
Dude. RC needs to be a consultant on Buxco versus Delco. Oh.
Yes. Dude, are we gonna get, we're going to get you. You're going to be one of our people to vet information to make sure it's accurate.
Yeah. I was born in Montco, just a hospital, Bryn Mawr Hospital, but then raised my whole life in Delco.
Sure. Okay. You know it is.
All right, there we go.
And in fact, Tattoos by RC is in Folsom right there in Delco. So go see him. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. Tattoos again on the Preston and Steve Show.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Casey and I are playing in the...
Heat stroke final?
Nope. Drive for Autism.
Oh.
At DuPont Country Club. It's a really, really cool event.
It is. I look forward to it every single year because we usually get paired up with the same guys, Robbie Badillo and Dr. Badillo. So hopefully we'll be with those guys again.
Well, you're doing both events, so you're doing that and we're going to be at Dover on Sunday.
We're going to be at Dover on Sunday. Yeah, I actually have a ticket raid on Cottman Avenue, the Metro PCS for, you know, the MMRBQ on Saturday evening. I'm going to be missing the Kentucky Derby.
Kentucky Derby.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Oh, I thought that was an event.
That's from DuckTales.
That is from DuckTales?
Yes.
The Kentucky Derby.
The Kentucky Derby. And actually, Chuck D'Amico is finally having a Kentucky Derby party because it's also on Cinco D'Amico.
That's right. Oh, that's perfect. Chuck always went. I didn't know if he ever had the Kentucky Derby.
No, he wants to.
But on Cinco D'Amico.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Wait, so is he having a party?
He is. Yeah, like he with should. A horse, like a petting zoo.
Right, right.
All perfect. That stuff. Yeah.
That's absolutely perfect. All right. Anyhow, real quick, thank you to the Spirit of Philadelphia for serving up some food this morning. Give us some giveaways. Marissa Magnata will be there Sunday, the 20th, May 20th. And it's a fun day. It's a Sunday fun day. They're having a lunch cruise.
Oh, this is, honestly, if you've not been on the Spirit recently, you got to get out on it. It's awesome.
Food games, skyline views, beer garden vibes, whole deal. You can go to spiritofphiladelphia.com for more information. You'll be able to join Marissa for that, which would be very cool. Thank you also to our Not Your Average listeners, Jess and Mike Schisler.
Yeah.
Who are there awesome. This morning. They live... Yeah. In a van, and they travel the country. They have no roots, man. They go wherever they want to, and they listen to the Preston and Steve Show.
How do you pay your bills? I was curious about that.
They
have jobs. Answered that.
Yeah. She's a scientist, and she does her work on the road. She does it all via computer.
But how do you get paid? I mean,
like, where does it get
you guys want to answer? Where do you get your, how does your cash come to you?
My mom signs the checks.
Okay.
There you go.
A
Our mom signs the checks.
And I'm sure you can get wired. You can get wired money as well.
Yeah, and you deposit them, and then you have an ATM, and then you go get your
cash.
Then
you go, yeah.
You work for your mother then?
No. No, but it's a physical check. We need a mailing address.
Okay. Hmm. And how do you find time to work out? Look at your bicepsuals. where do you go
they
for
belong
that?
To a gym.
You should podcast the shows.
Yeah, you should listen sometime.
They answered all these.
I heard the...
Don't yell at me. You man. Clearly did not.
I heard... I did. I did hear the show.
They're outside all the time, so they're outdoors people. They're in great shape.
I listened to it from the very beginning. I was riveted, but I had other questions, some of which apparently were answered.
Well, no, I said as well that I wanted to talk to them more. We had tons of other questions that we wanted to get to, but the time constraints on such a radio program got in the way. So we'll just have to leave it for another time.
That don't confront me.
That don't confront me.
By the way, if you've noticed, Preston... Pierre's looking very Yanni-esque himself today.
He does have his Preston's Eve Yanni cup.
I found Yanni at
home.
It's
a Yeti.
Yanni.
Same thing. I like Yanni better now.
Close the lid. You were going to spill the coffee.
Well, I forgot the little metallic thing or the little magnet thing to shut it to keep it super hot. But I was running out the door. Well, I
you don't seem like it.
I was in a marathon.
Preston, go.
I'm trying. I'm really trying. I'm thank you. All right, let's do the letter of the day.
Yeah. Yo-ho.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
T is in travel.
All right, you should have two letters. You're going to need five altogether, which we will get the next few days. WMMR 50th birthday prize packs. What we're giving away, a pair of tickets to the MMRBQ, free admission to MMR's Mudder's Day. Four-pack of tickets to the Pierre Presents Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. A four-pack of tickets to the MMR Birthday Beer Bash Cheers to 50 Years. And $100 to spend in the MMR Rock Shop. Complete details for all of these events that I've mentioned can be found at WMMR.com. What is coming up today? Would you tell us that, my man?
I sure will. We got birthday bucks, 11 and 1. I think we have... two more weeks of birthday bucks, right?
Do we?
This weekend, next week, I believe.
That's a lot of money to give away.
Lots of money, and a lot of people have won, and it's so cool. And then Jackson, another couple of opportunities at 4 and 6, so five times a day to win $1,000 is pretty cool. We will also visit the archives, the MM archives. We were going to do the 130 archive song up, and we were going to do 50 songs from the archives, and then we hit our 50th birthday, and... we just said, well, let's keep going with it because it's fun.
Okay. It is.
So so we're continuing it for a while. And one listener who was very arithmetic.
Arithmetic?
Yeah.
Okay. Aromatic?
Aromatic and avedic. And
hydromatic.
And hydromatic.
Are we going to sing Grease Lightning?
I guess so. Oh, Grease Lightning.
Overhead lifters in a... keep talking, we'll keep talking.
Anyway, that, he said...
Of course we do. I thought we were moving along.
Pierre-o-matic.
Don't let me slow things down.
No. Robert-o-matic.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
He said he had counted from the first time we started, and he goes, listen, when you get to April 29th or whatever, you will not have played 50 songs. And I go, don't worry. We'll get to it. So we're extending our archival segment at 1:30. We'll have that. We got some cool workforce blocks. A band that has jammed with Preston as their occasional drummer is in town tonight, Steel Blanket Panther at the TLA. So we will do a workforce block of Steel Panther.
Nice.
I believe I even have, because I brought my roving rock microphone the first time you were there to cover some of you sitting behind the drum kit. And Sticks of Plenty or whatever his name is.
Sticks of Dinya.
Sticks of Dinya.
Yeah.
Tommy Tom Thompson.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, Tommy Tom Thompson got behind the drums, and it was very exciting. So I have a little concert coverage of that, which we'll replay for a block of Steel Panther, a block of Rolling Stones. Our first show in Philly was tonight, Convention Hall in 1965.
Wow.
And we had a request for this combination of metal and punk music block, so we're going to do something
Monk.
With that.
Okay, should be good.
We'll get some overhead lifters and four bell quads, oh yeah.
Keep talking, we'll keep talking.
Good injection, cut off the chrome, and it rods, oh yeah.
Get ready,
Okay.
Sounds like Bruce.
Yeah. Four speed.
Yeah, 4 speed on the floor. Exactly.
Got a 4 speed and positive traction 409.
Oh, it's close.
Not bad.
4 speed dual quad. 4 speed dual quad positive traction 409.
I love that song.
Yeah.
All right. That's
Pierre, Jeremy, right?
That's Pierre Robert. He's coming up next. No, it's 409. Let me thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And, of course, Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Wilmington University. Experience at Wilmington University. Difference at wilmu.edu. And brought to you by Monster Jam this Saturday, May 5th at The Link. Tickets at monsterjam.com. Tomorrow on the program, we will have a stop on Fox Good Day, as we do on Wednesdays. And we will also have, now this is, I got to make sure you get this correctly. We will have Derek Smalls of Spinal Tap on the show.
What?
Not Harry Shearer.
No.
Harry will be Derek Smalls because he has a solo album coming out.
No, dude.
He does.
Oh, dude.
So he's giving us a call tomorrow morning. Should be pretty cool.
We have to do it.
That's so cool.
That and more. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Damn it, Steve. I'm trying to change lanes, and you start playing horn effects on the radio. It's hilarious, but it makes me paranoid. I'm driving a very large vehicle and have a lot of blind spots. Cool it.
Next message.
Hey, I just want to thank you guys, really, for being friends. You know, we've traveled around the world and back again. Your heart is true. You know, you guys are pals and confidants. Thank you for being a friend.
Next message.
If you put on makeup while you're driving, you're an asshole. If you shave while you're driving, you're an asshole. If you're reading a newspaper while you're driving, you're an asshole. Stop being an asshole.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.